Messages from the House.
February the 15th, 2011, from the House of Representatives. Message, third reading passed. Mr. President, the bills listed below pass the House on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 63, Game and Fish Donation of Hunting Licenses. Ayes 51, noes 9. Senate File 92, Natural Gas Storage. Ayes 59, noes 1. Senate File 99, Sales Tax on Certain Food Items. Ayes 51, noes 1. Senate File 117. Senate File 99, ayes 59, noes 1. Senate File 117, Wyoming Reclamation and Restoration Center, ayes 60. Senate File 135, University of Wyoming Federal Mineral Royalties, ayes 60. Senate File 137, Ignition Interlock Devices, ayes 43, noes 17. Senate Joint Resolution 2, Health Care Freedom, ayes 49, 11, noes 11. February the 15th, 2011, from the House of Representatives. Message concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 128, Abandoned Vehicle Storage Expenses. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 39, noes 21. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. February 15, 2011, from the House of Representatives, message 326, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 116, Oil and Gas Enhanced Recovery Microbial Conversion. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 58, noes 2. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. February the 15th, 2011, from the House of Representatives, message number 330, concurrence passed. Mr. President, the House did concur on Senate amendments to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill 156, Grand Teton National Park Transfer of State Land. Ayes 54, noes 6. February the 15th, 2011, from the House of Representatives, message number 328, concurrence failed. Mr. President, House Bill 109, Wyoming Infrastructure Authority. The House failed to concur on Senate amendments to the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 0, noes 60. The House requests the Senate appoint a conference committee, number 1, to meet with a light committee from the House to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. February the 15th, 2011, from the House of Representatives, message number 331, conferees appoint a joint conference committee, number 1. Mr. President, the Speaker appointed House conferees to meet with a light committee number 1 from the Senate on amendments to House Bill 109. The House conferees are Representative Lockhart, Chairman, Representative Moniz, and Representative Stubson. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
We do have a couple of joint conference committee.
Hold that.
Sorry.
Stuck together.
Go ahead.
Both of these. Okay. February the 15th, 2011, from the House of Representatives, message number 332. Conferees appointed, Joint Conference Committee number 1, Mr. President. The Speaker appointed House conferees to meet with the Light Committee number 1 from the Senate on amendments to House Bill 113. The House conferees are Representative Lockhart, Chairman, Representative Moniz, and Representative Stubson. February the 15th, 2011, from the House of Representatives, message number 329, concurrence failed. Mr. President, House Bill 113, Wyoming Pipeline Authority. The House failed to concur on Senate amendments to the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 0, noes 60. The House requests the Senate appoint a conference committee, number 1, to meet with light committees from the House to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk. You done with it?
Okay, now we have a couple of joint conference committee appointments.
Oh, okay.
In regard to House Bill 109, failure to concur on the House side, Senator Bebout, Senator Cooper, Senator Schiffer. Again, that was House Bill 109. Joint Conference Committee in regard to House Bill 113, Wyoming Pipeline Authority. Bebout, Chairman, Jennings, and Schiffer. Concurrences. Senator Jennings, are you ready in regard to message number 326?
Yes, Mr. President, I am.
Could we have the reading clerk read that message in, please?
February the 15th, 2011, from the House of Representatives, message number 326, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate file number 116, oil and gas enhanced recovery, microbial conversion. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 58, noes 2. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move concurrence on Senate file 116, message 326, oil and gas enhanced oil microbial conversion. The bug bill, ask you to vote yes on it. All they did in the House was they added on page 4, line 18, they added the commission, after consultation with the director of the Department of Environmental Quality, shall adopt Class 2 rules implementing this section. No problem with that. Sounds good. Ask that you'd vote yes.
Any discussion in regard to this message? The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate file 116. You've been asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll? Emmerich, Esquibel, Geis,
Hastert,
Hicks, Hines, Jennings, Johnson, Landon, Martin, Meyer, Nicholas, Nutting, Perkins, Peterson, Ross, Rothbus, Schiffer, Scott.
Aye.
Von Flatron.
Aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 no.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate file 116. Reports from standing committees.
February the 15th, 2011, Mr. President, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 259, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Barnard, Case, Emmerichson, Hines. No, Senator Perkins. Senator Hines, Chairman. February the 15th, 2011, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Elections and Political Subdivision, to whom was referred House Bill 42, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, Martin, and Scott. Senator Case, Chairman. February the 15th, 2011, Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 120, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Christensen, Dockstader, Driscoll, Escobel. No, Senator Burns. Senator Burns, Chairman. February the 15th, 2011, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 40, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Hastert, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, Von Fladeren, Senator Nicholas, Chairman.
Lauren. We are now ready for bills on second reading. We are back on second reading of Senate File 1, the budget bill. We are in the midst of consideration of those second reading amendments. To continue from where we were earlier this morning, the next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 21, and I would ask that the reading clerk read that amendment at this time.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment 21, budget affected, Department of Health.
That is your amendment, Senator Case. Would you like to speak to that?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move second reading amendment number 21 to Senate File 1. This, Mr. President, goes into the budget and adds 20,000. Yes, you heard me correctly. Not 20 million, not 2 million, $20,000 to our, it's a fairly new program that's an outreach for epilepsy and epilepsy education. And, your appropriations committee had raised that amount to $42,000. We're trying to increase it by $20,000 more to a total of $62,000 for the second year of this program. Mr. Chairman, epilepsy is a underserved area in the state of Wyoming, and this new formed education effort has done some great work. I was able to work with a young Eagle Scout who actually was here on the floor last year, if you remember, who has probably 100 seizures in an hour. And you would hardly notice it, but he has struggled and overcame that, and he's gotten a lot of help from the outreach that we've had for epilepsy in Wyoming. There are many, many people that suffer from epilepsy. In fact, within the community of people with developmental disabilities, epilepsy is a very prominent co-existing condition that my father was very involved with when he, at one time, many, many years ago, was at what we call the training school, now the Life Resource Center. Mr. Chairman, I ask for your favorable consideration. There's quite a program that had been requested at one time, including $168,000 worth of funding. We feel that this additional $20,000, which would be sort of like two sets of dishes, and nothing wrong with dishes, Mr. President, I like dishes. But this is a very modest amount to achieve some very good aims for people in Wyoming who have a very severe and debilitating condition.
Questions or discussion in regard to this amendment? Senator Nutting.
I also speak in favor of this amendment. We are not going to be able to continue doing medical care in the same way that we've done it for years and years. our health care is becoming more expensive, and we're going to need to look at some alternate things to do. One of those is to put even more dependence on our community self-help groups. These have proven to be very cost-effective and can be helpful to many, many types of people. The epilepsy program is one that is actively used for referrals from our hospitals and from our providers. They do a good job and ultimately will save health care dollars. So I ask for passage of this amendment.
Thank you. Further discussion or questions? Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr.
President. Mr. Vice President.
Just
a minute. I do have trouble with your phone. There it goes. Back.
Okay, there we go. Right. Mr. President,
overused.
Yeah. Comedians back here. Mr. President, you know, there are groups out there that will take care of your heart. They'll take care of your lungs and all nature of groups out there. And if you believe that the function of government is to take tax dollars and to fund all these great and wonderful organizations, that's fair enough. The JAC did increase this budget. These are support organizations. And, you know, it's one thing when we're putting money into direct research, when we're doing things that the private sector can't do, that gifts from families or your gifts to the community can't do, but to have the government dollars being utilized to fund these organizations, you just have to decide where's the limit, because really there's everybody in here probably gives money to a variety of organizations that are well-intended, very, very important to the community. And I guess at some point it'd be nice to say, you know, let's don't make any more private donations. Let's have the government make all the donations and make it easier on all of us. But that's simply, I mean, you got to think in terms of what is the function of government and how much should we be providing for these support organizations. And that's sort of the rudder that you have to be thinking about.
Other discussion or questions? Senator Case, would you like to speak again, please?
Mr. President, thank you very much. You know, there's lots of health issues out there, and a lot of them get a tremendous amount of support from, you know, you might talk about hearts, you might talk about lungs, you might talk about this. This is one that's sort of under everybody's radar screen, because epilepsy, for a long time, Mr. President, has been viewed as sort of almost in the category of a dementia, and really hasn't had the focus as a very extremely complex disease that it is. And there's a physician in Casper who gives an extraordinary talk about epilepsy. And it is amazing how complex it is and how the difficulties, for example, in the area of medication management, whereas, you know, you have to have your seizures categorized correctly to get the proper medication. A slight variability in getting the wrong medication may actually introduce a different type of seizure. And the education component is so, so important. There are people that suffer with seizures that are probably induced by the medications that they take. And that was the area of my father's work at the Life Resource Center, was he was able to get people off of medication, save money for the state, and get them a better quality of life with fewer seizures. Mr. President, it's a very extremely modest amount of money to a program that has demonstrated great results for the tiny, tiny bit of money that we put into it. And many of these people, of course, also are within the area of developmental disability, and it helps in that area as well. Thank you, Mr. President. $20,000. Two sets of dishes.
Ready for the question? It does monetarily affect the budget. We'd ask that the roll be called. In regard to second reading amendment number 21, Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
No.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
No.
Martin?
No.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Von Slatern?
No.
President Anderson?
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 13 ayes, 17 noes.
That amendment has failed. Second reading amendment number 21, Senate file 1, has failed to. Next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 25. We'll ask the clerk to read that in at this time.
Senate file 1. Second reading amendment number 25, budget affected, section 48, Department of Health.
Senator Dockstader, would you like to move and speak to the amendment, please?
Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 25 to Senate file 1. Members of the body, asking for this funding because there's been a lot of interest in this program. It's grown significantly over the last few years. Goal of the program is to assist communities to recruit and retain their health care professionals. Give you some numbers here. 2008 and 2010, those were significant years. 2010 application period set a record high for the number of physicians and dentist applications. There were 56 in 2010, 54 in 2008. In 2010, the Wyoming Office of Rural Health awarded a total of $592,603 to health care professionals across the state. 2010, the application period had 199 applications. During the five-year life of this program, there has been 960 applications and 240 awards. It's included 70 physicians, 43 mental health care professionals, 23 registered nurses, physicians assistants, etc. So we're asking that you give some consideration to this on behalf of helping the health care programs in our communities across the state. They successfully used it. I understand that 22 out of our 23 counties have benefited from this program, so I'd ask for your favorable consideration.
Is there any discussion or questions in regard to this amendment? Senator Meyer, go ahead, please.
Mr. President, I urge the body to vote against this amendment. This is just another area where we're going to get budget creep. It's another $300,000. It's certainly a worthy program, but this program was funded for the entire biennium. There is no discussion about the need to increase this program from the Department of Health or any other discussion or testimony while we went over the budget. It certainly didn't rise to the priorities that are indicated by any of the departments as far as something they would the governor would support that I could recall. I may stand corrected on that, Mr. President, but it's just another $300,000. We've got to get our handle on this. We can't continue to spend and spend and spend. I'm sure this would be biannualized. You're looking at another $600,000 next year. So when you vote on these amendments, just realize that we're going to have some tough times coming in the next year. We know we're going to be at least $70-75 million that we've got to come up with on the Medicaid program. There's a lot of ARRA funds out there, a lot of areas in the community college and the university's budget that we're going to have to replace these federal funds. And we're going to have to start making the savings now, Mr. President. And this is one place we can begin.
Senator Scott?
Mr. President, speaking on and for this amendment, frankly, the only reservation I have about this amendment is I don't think it's near enough. But at least it's a start. when you look at the problems that our constituents have in the health care area, one of the major ones is insufficient providers. And that means that there's a fair number of our constituents that are having difficulty finding any provider at all. I know that's true in my district. And then we have, because we have so few providers in many of the areas, the techniques for keeping medical costs down by getting the providers to compete against each other simply don't work because we're so short. And so our costs are higher. So on both scores, we need to do something in recruiting more providers. This is a proven effective program, and this will help just a little bit, but it's an area we really need to do something in.
Thank you, Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. We are doing significant area amounts and contributing amounts in this area. We've increased the WAMI positions to another 4. You saw that in the budget, so that's going. We don't even see the financial impact of the WAMI for 4 years till it starts ramping up. We created not too long ago a WAMI equivalent for the dental program to help fund dental students. And it is a good program. And I think if you look at what we're doing, we just felt that it was the money ought to be spent in educating people with an obligation to return to Wyoming. So we are doing our part. Could do more? Probably. But we are doing our part.
Senator Ross?
President.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you. A question for the sponsor. I'm just wondering how you came up with the figure 300,000. I haven't heard any testimony yet right now as to how you arrived at that figure, if there's a deficit. It sounds like from the good senator from Natrona County that it's not enough, but I haven't, I don't have a comfort level in voting for something like this without more information.
Other commentary, Senator Bebout?
Thank you, Mr. President. Another question for the sponsor as well. It's a physician and dentist loan repayment program, and just to refresh our memory on how exactly that does and how the money flows through.
Is there other questions for the sponsor before he stands for his second time? Seeing none, Senator Duncan, would you like to answer the question?
Thank you, Mr. President. My understanding that this is to assist the program to continue through the biennium. The loan repayment program, I don't have specific information for you on that, but it's my understanding that it just feeds back into what's already there. There is one thing I'd like to note. They sent out a survey on this program in January to the 183 participants that have been a part of it, and they received 150 comments back, and of those sending it back, 68% felt that it was very important in their career, and 32% said it was important. So either very important or important. I think in answer to your overall question, the $300,000 just simply supplements the program to help it continue on. And I'd ask for your support on this. This one's for your future community docs and dentists.
Ready for the question? Question being called in regard to second reading amendment number 25. I'd ask that the clerk call the roll, please.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich?
No.
Esquibel?
No.
Geis?
No.
Hastert? Hicks?
No.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
No.
Martin?
No.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
No.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Bonflatern? President Anderson.
No.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 8 ayes, 22 noes.
By your vote, second reading amendment number 25 has failed. Next amendment for our consideration, second reading amendment number 6. I'd ask the clerk, reading clerk, to read that in at this time.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 6, budget affected, 51 Livestock Board.
Senator Driscoll, would you like to move and speak to this amendment, please?
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd move for the adoption of this amendment. This amendment is, there's money been appropriated for computerization of the livestock inspection system in Wyoming. And as a, what I believe was probably an oversight, they left out G-forms. And what G-forms are is, under current regime, as a brand inspector comes to your ranch and inspects the cattle, they're going to computerize that system so that they can streamline it and have some cost savings. This is going to do G-forms, and what G-forms are is you... Am I wrong, Gary?
Senator Driscoll, would you address the chair and go on with the amendment?
Yes, sir, I'm sorry. I think I'm in the wrong path from what I'm seeing. I think I would like to ask Senator Geist to explain it, because I think I'm wrong.
Go ahead, Senator Driscoll. Complete your delivery on the amendment, okay, and then if you. Senator Geist chooses to raise, he can.
Great. Thank you. I apologize. G-form is used to, you fill the form out in the country and the cattle are inspected at the point of destination. And this amendment asks that it be added into the computerization system as they computerize brands. I stand for questions.
Any other comments in regard to this amendment, Senator Geist?
Mr. Chairman, they just appropriated the money to get the computers. I don't think this is the way ahead of time. Let them get the brands computerized, and then we'll look at brands, these G-forms later on, because, I mean, they're not worth hardly the paper they're written on, because I can go in and pick up a G-form, not even own any cattle, and they'll give it to me.
Other comments? Before you rise your second time, is there any other comment or questions in regard to this amendment? Seeing none, go ahead, Senator Driscoll.
Thank you. A G-form works exactly the same as a brand inspection in the end, and this merely allows it to be computerized the same as the brands. In response, yes, absolutely. Anybody can pick a G-form up, but it is tracked back to the sale barn, and it is tied back at the Wyoming brand office. And what this does is allows it to be done rather than by a paper form. It allows it to be done in a computerized manner, which... The whole idea of this appropriation is to streamline the deal. I would strongly suggest you approve it. Otherwise, there will probably have to be a change in the system down the road to allow for G-forms to work into it. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Are we ready for the question? There appears to be no monetary effect for this. It's just a direction in regard to the type of form. All those in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no.
No.
That amendment has passed. Next amendment for our consideration, second reading amendment number 7. I'd ask that be read in at this time.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 7, budget affected, 57 Community College Commission.
Senator Coe, would you like to move this amendment, speak to it, please?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 7 to Senate File 1. This goes into Section 57 Community College Commission. And just a little background, with the passage of Senate-enrolled Act 39, I believe, last year, as a result of the discussion that a special select committee had in the interim 2 years ago on community colleges and strategic planning, one of the real issues that came out of that was dual concurrent enrollment. And this discussion continues. We had an active discussion on that, particularly as it relates to small schools, distance education. How are we going to facilitate that process of dual concurrent enrollment for the small schools and other schools as well? What this amendment does is puts $45,000 in to be good through June 30th of 2012 to the Community College Commission to go out and continue to pursue and coordinate the efforts between high schools, community colleges, BOCES groups, so that we can go ahead in conjunction with what P16 Council is doing, and hopefully come out with something that's more constructive when it comes to dual concurrent enrollment. This is still a a struggle out there that's taking place. I believe strongly in it, but we do have some problems with it. And so this just gives a little bump down the road to say, let's go ahead and continue the dialogue, particularly for the benefit of the small schools. I think they're the ones that are really affected. I ask that you support the amendment. It's $45,000.
Are there any questions or is there any discussion in regard to this amendment? Seeing none, then this is a monetary amount. I'd ask the chief clerk to call the roll, please.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks? Hines,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
no.
Von Flatern,
no.
President Anderson,
aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 21 ayes, 9 noes.
By your vote, second reading amendment number 7 has passed the Senate. The next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 8. I'd ask a clerk to read that in at this time.
Senate file 1, second reading amendment number 8. Budgets affected. Community College Commission.
Senator Cole.
Mr. President, I would move second reading amendment number 8 to Senate file 1. This also goes into section 57, Wyoming Community College, but specifically to the public television side of that. And to quote the good chairman of appropriations, this is a family harmony amendment. And I happen to see the other half of the harmony standing up on the balcony watching right now down on the other half of the harmony. Anyway, what this amendment does, the Wyoming Public Television Endowment Account, funded with $557,000 out there, they have a certain amount of time to match that money. That expires on June 30th of 2012 and reverts back to the general fund. What this amendment does is extends that to June 30th, 2016. Now, Wyoming Public Television, one of the really great entities in the state that I really like and love, has not been able to raise the money as effectively as some others have. It's a slow, tedious process. It has to happen in $10,000 increments. So let's give them the chance to go out and match this money for the betterment of Wyoming Public Television and have that be extended to 2016. Ask for your support.
Questions, considerations in regard to this amendment? This does have a monetary effect. I do believe that. Yes, go ahead, Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, I did talk to some of the budget office folks about this particular amendment because I knew it was coming. It's unclear as to whether or not we can extend these funds to June 2016 in the budget process because we had no statutory backup on this. And I did talk to one of the co-sponsors of this amendment about the possibility that there could be a deficiency in this amendment just due to the fact that we don't have a statute like our other endowment funds, because this was created entirely in the budget in 2008. So I'm going to get some clarification on that and get with the sponsors and staff to make sure that this is something we can do. I'm not against this, Mr. President, but I think we may have a situation where it's something we just can't do in the budget. And I'll get back to the body and the sponsors with that clarification at a later date.
Any other discussion? Senator Coe, would you like to respond?
Well, Mr. President, I would be more than happy to try to bring that information back. I understand it's not in statute. I'd ask that you support the amendment today, and I can guarantee everybody if there's a problem with that, I'll come back on third reading.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, this does, I believe, have a monetary effect, would require a roll call vote. I'd ask that the chief clerk call the roll at this time. Second reading amendment number 8.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins? Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Bonflatern?
Aye.
President Anderson?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 27 ayes, 3 noes.
By your vote, second reading amendment number 8 has passed. The next amendment for our consideration is amendment second reading amendment number 30. I'd ask the clerk to read this in at this time.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 30, budgets affected, section 60, Office of State Land and Investments.
And that is the Hines Amendment. Senator Hines, would you like to speak to that?
Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 30 to Senate File 1. What I'm asking for in this amendment is $50,000 that could be used at Ranch A to build the outside fences. Ranch A, as you know, is owned by the state and run by a foundation. They're always having financial troubles. They're under the state land and investment. They do not have the funds to keep operating the way they wish. They mainly work on restoring the old buildings, and they have done an excellent job for anybody that have been there and seen that. They have some neighbors that have indicated that they want the fences rebuilt, and these neighbors are willing to pay half of the cost. And you'll see one statue in this amendment that relates to, can find it here anyway, 1128-106. And that is state law that says that on outside fences, each neighbor shall pay one half of the cost. There's about four or five private owners around there. There's a country club, and then there's, I think, four other private owners, and then the BLM and Forest Service. And what we've done, we've asked for this money to go to the State Land and Investment Board, and would only be paid out if a neighbor paid half of the cost. If they do not, if the neighbors or all of the neighbors do not agree to this, well, what's left in the funds would revert in June 30th, 2014. And we put that date in there so they'd have a little more time to contact the neighbors, get the fences built. So I ask your support for this amendment.
Questions? Senator Nicholas? Mr. Vice President?
Thank you. Mr. President, we had set up a fund for the SLIV board to address the expenses on properties that they were managing throughout the state. So I'm wondering whether or not there was a request actually made to the SLIV group to find out whether they had considered undertaking the cost share for the fence, what the response was, or whether there's no dollars there. And ordinarily, if you have some expense like this, we'd expect the dollars to come through the SLIV board as part of their appropriation request. But I know that these are, it may be that those dollars that we set aside were for state trust lands and not for the other managed property, but it was my understanding that they do have budgets available for this type of work. So I wonder if simply this is the request is made to the SLIP board and they said there ought to be another way to pay for it, or whether they refuse to pay for it, whether they think that the lease payment's arbitrarily low. What's happening here?
Other discussion or questions of the sponsor before he responds? Senator Hines, would you like a second chance here?
Mr. President, Those are good questions, and I'll probably have to do some investigating. When I worked with this group a year ago, there was questions, and we went and met with some of the state land board people and with parks and recreation, and the question that I come to my mind, were this a foundation, whether they're eligible to go to the SLID board, and I cannot answer that myself. At the time, we asked these other agency for all the suggestions we could get to try to help them out with their funding. And as I recall, the SLID board did not come up. So I will have to investigate that.
Are you ready for the question? I'd ask the chief clerk to call the roll on this. Does it include a funding amount? This is second reading amendment number 30. Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case? Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Amrick?
Aye.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
No.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
No.
Martin?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
No.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Anderson?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 16 ayes, 14 noes.
Second reading amendment number 30 has passed the Senate. Yes, you may. Senator Von Flatern, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. If I may have privilege of the floor.
You may.
Fellow senators, I'd like to introduce you to the newest Gillette Area Leadership class, which is visiting us today. So a chance to stand up and give somebody a rousing hand here is the class sitting right behind us, if they'd stand up.
Well, welcome to the Senate, and we hope that you are enjoying your day. The next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 29, and I'd ask that that be read in at this time.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 29, budgets affected, capital construction.
Mr. Vice President, would you like to address that amendment, please?
Mr. President, I move second reading amendment 29 to Senate File 1. Ladies and gentlemen, this does propose an appropriation of $1 million, creates a committee of two legislators from each of the houses to investigate the acquisition of new land for a new governor's mansion. It doesn't talk about how we're going to fund the governor's mansion, but here's the question that really we just proposed to everybody. And I'm not sure, I think I know where I've come down, but there is a proposal, as I explained earlier, to spend almost $10 million to remodel just the public side of the governor's mansion. So if you've gone there for dinner, the notion is it ought to be a larger seating area. The kitchen needs remodeling. If you've been through the private side, it's a pretty small area. It's the guest area is arguably inadequate. If you begin to look at remodeling both the private side and the public side, it's a pretty extraordinary expense. So the question is do we continue to spend money on the existing residence, remodeling it, expanding it, or do we say, hey, look, it's time to look at acquire or constructing in the future, and I don't know whether it's this year, 5 years from now, or 10 years from now, we're not laying that out, but begin the process of looking for a new to construct a new governor's residence, and if we do that, then there's no point in spending $10 million to remodel the facility and things like that. We'll be looking at the cost of constructing a new facility. So the amendment's put before you to see what your opinion is and kind of see whether there's a consensus.
Questions? Senator Bebout?
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a question is, as I read this amendment, we're going to have a committee look at it, and then they're going to make some recommendations. Does that mean that they will make a recommendation the money will be spent to go ahead and acquire the land, or are we getting the money there before we should have the recommendation? I just want to be sure I understand it.
Any other questions before the sponsor raises for a second time? Seeing none. Oh, Senator Dockstader, go ahead.
Conversation then down the road, then do we get some money out of the original place if it's sold? Where do we stand on this? Could you give us the big picture so we're not just dealing with $1 million here?
Other questions of the sponsor before we seeing then, Senator Nicholas, would you like to speak to some of that?
Thank you, Mr. President. The notion here is that I think part of the discussion is that if you're going to look at a governor's new mansion, the first question for me always is, where would you place it? And if there's not a suitable site, maybe we work with what we have. So the issue, what we do here is we give to ANI the $1 million, tell them to begin searching for a new site, and at the same time begin to investigate the cost of it. But if we wait and I just always believe that your best bargaining power is to go out early and look for property and find the right place and acquire it. But there's no magic to it. I mean, my present view right now is to spend on the order of $10 million to address the private side or the public side on a building that's generally inadequate for present-day use is not a wise use of our funds. I think we ought to begin looking forward. Obviously, we own the existing governor's mansion, and my vision would be this: the day after a new facility is constructed, that we would offer the new one for sale under terms and conditions to reach its highest price, but we wouldn't do that until the present one's decommissioned. And I don't really right now have a notion of whether this is a 5-year project, a 10-year project. But getting the real estate is always the hardest part, and trying to design a building is really a function of can you find suitable real estate. So just turn it out to see how people feel about it.
Ready for the question? I'd ask that the chief clerk call the roll at this time. Regard to second reading amendment number 29.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
No.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon? Martin?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Von Fleitern?
Aye.
President Anderson?
Aye.
Case
aye
to no.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 20 ayes, 10 noes.
By your vote, second reading amendment number 29 has passed. Next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 9. I'd ask the reading clerk to read that amendment in at this time.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 9, budgets affected capital construction.
Senator Coase and Senator Casey. Senator Schiffer, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Senator Schiffer.
Amendment number 9 to Senate File 1 and ask for the Senate's favorable support. Mr. President, what this does, this goes into the two community colleges. one over in Riverton, Central Wyoming College, and one up in Sheridan and Northern. And this asks for matching funds to build buildings. And these buildings are classroom buildings. What we're doing there is giving ourselves the ability to provide modern, update, and equipped classrooms, both in technical areas, and that's in terms of GIS, in terms of CAD, in terms of science labs, and particularly over in Sheridan. And I'm going to yield to my colleague from Fremont County to talk about specifics over in Riverton, an engineering lab that's directly tied to the program at Laramie. And what this, both of these appropriations, one is for $6,550,000 and one is for $7,500,000, are predicated on a dollar-for-dollar match in our communities. We have that money committed. Mr. President, these two particular projects were the next two on the priority list for the Community College Commission when it was shut down to rewrite the rules to decide how to build buildings. That's been going on for a year and a half. During that time, they're certainly making progress, no question in my mind. But what happens is community colleges, we all can remember, back in the 90s, we didn't do anything in terms of the maintenance and updating of community college classrooms and programs. And we're trying to get caught up from that. When you look at who trains workers, whatever level, in your communities, it's the community colleges that do it. And I'm going to reference you to a set of letters that I had passed out and labeled Senate File 1, Amendment 2009. And this is for my community, and I'll yield. Fremont County has an equally impressive set of letters. The top one is Accutech. This is a company that's relocating from Colorado to Sheridan. They need to train the workforce. This is 50 new employees. You can go through Intermountain Lab, same way they've been around a long time. Craftco, construction outfit. The local Padlock Ranch is also interested in participating. One of the top 20 in terms of size in the U.S., that ranch rates in that top 20. They want to partner up and is providing substantial support. The hospital, again, nursing program. If you don't have a good nursing lab, you can't teach nursing anymore. It's got to be current. That's the name of the game in this world. Going on through Western Water Engineering, Pinnacle Gas, big operator up in our part of the world. And the beauty of it all, the Energy Corporation, Powder River Energy, they're a major provider up in northwestern Wyoming. And the last one is Westmoreland Resources. This is a company out of Montana. So we get to charge those kids out-of-state tuition, but the company has stepped up. They want to participate. Again, it's a dollar-for-dollar match. It is the next two programs that would have been authorized if any programs were authorized. We have the support of the Community College Presidents Association. They are in support of this. They are in support of what we're doing. And they are in support of these two projects. Mr. President, what I'd like to do now is yield the floor to my colleague from Fremont County and get a different perspective on this outstanding budget amendment.
Senator Bebout, I believe the floor is yours now.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. I will take that baton and continue to support this outstanding budget request. And Mr. President, really in all seriousness, I'd like to give the members of the Senate some background, and I am supporting both of these wholeheartedly because they both fit the same needs and desires of what we probably should do as a body here in the Senate, and particularly for CWC. In 2005, we hired an independent planner to come into our college and look at our college and see what we ought to be doing in terms of planning for the future. And we, in fact, said we need an allied health and trades project, or this health and science building we're talking about. And in 2006, that was approved by the Wyoming Community College Commission. Of course, to have any of these things move forward, including the one from Sheridan, you have to have the approval of the legislature. And that those projects were both authorized by the legislature, and I believe in 2007 and the governor. And then, of course, we talked about the prioritization, and there were lists, and there were different issues that happened. And CWC and the Sheridan College were both on those lists and were not able to get their funding at the particular time and matches. And I stood on this floor and supported those other projects where, in fact, the state did step up, where local communities had come up with money to build much-needed facilities to help what we have, which is a great community college system in this state. And if you look, and most recently we talked about the issue in Casper, where, in fact, they did go out and secure a bond issue. And then this legislature last year stepped up with a gateway project and thought it was a good idea and funded them to the tune of $10 million. There's also a part of the budget bill that allows further bonding for that particular project. And Mr. Chairman, specifically, or Mr. President, specifically at Central, we went out and asked the voters of Fremont County in a very tough economic situation, you know, we need this facility. We want your support. We want you to vote for this. And they did. They did, Mr. President. That's huge, and that's very significant. Let me tell you some of the reasons why. In our particular instance at Central, we have a great nursing program, and there was testimony giving at a local rally we had to support this, that, in fact, we've had 300 people within our college system that wanted to get into the nursing program. We only had room for 30. We're turning away good people that wanted to have a career, a great career in nursing, use our facilities. We just didn't have the classroom, the ability to do it. We talked yesterday about the STEM building at the university. Good project, and at the university they have a real need for updating their facilities. When we first built our college in the mid-60s, we built our health facilities and our labs. They've been there since the mid-60s, and I would be glad to come up and show you those facilities. They really need to be upgraded. They need to be improved. They need to be remodeled. And you look at the other thing, too, Mr. President, is we did step up and get the $11.5 million bond in our community, and we're not asking for 50-50 match. We went back and took a very hard look at what it would cost to do our buildings in phases. Phase one, which is what the bond issue is for, that's 32,000 square feet, and phase two is what we come to this body and ask for the $6.5 million would add an additional 20,000 square feet. Can we get by with the first one? Sure we can. If it's the right thing to do, I would submit to you no. And one of the main reasons is if, in fact, we do get a process in place, we do come back to this body, I really believe both of these colleges will be, if not one or two, very high on that priority list. The numbers provided to me by an engineering firm show that it will cost us between $750,000, let me get this number right, $750,000 and $2 million to come back in and do it later. So I would submit to you that's not cost effective. We all know and understand the situation of our state relative to construction and jobs. It's a great time to go out there and build projects. This is a good project. I really think that both of these really need to step up. We talk about a process. I think this is a process, members of the Senate, right here, where we bring to you good projects, we show the need, we demonstrate the need, and we ask for your support, and I would certainly ask for your support on both of these.
Senator Coe?
Well, Mr. President, I rise also in support of the amendment, and just a little history. 5 years ago was alluded to, and I don't want to talk too much about that, but I can tell you exactly what happened because I looked into it again. We did fund three projects, and two of those were total matches. One was the Gillette campus, Gillette College. They came up with their share of the match, and the other, I think, was LCCC. The third project that rings a bell with me is the dormitory problem you had over at Eastern. And I think that was the third project that we funded 5 years ago. Now, I could be wrong on that. If I am, just, you know, stand up and tell me, but we have a history of doing this stuff. We do it when it's prioritized by the commission. These two projects were, in fact, prioritized 5 years ago. So I ask that you support the amendment. I hope I'm right on the Eastern College dormitory situation.
Other discussion, Senator Rothfuss?
Thank you, Mr. President. I actually just had a question. I'm looking for a little clarification from one of the sponsors. On line 15, page 52 of the budget bill, it actually has the NWCCD Big West Academic Center being funded to the tune of $15 million in both other funds and then the total appropriation. And then we've got it, obviously, that it's going to be inserted after line 18 of page 52, and I'm a little bit confused by whether we're adding additional funds to that total sum, whether this is supposed to be part of the same line item, or exactly how that's supposed to happen, Mr. President. So if I can get some clarification on that from the sponsors, I'd appreciate it.
Senator Nicholas. Mr. Vice President.
We set up a process as a result of a select committee to go through and evaluate colleges, community colleges, when they should get buildings and when should they not, who should get them, where are the needs. The Gillette campus was a pretty extraordinary circumstance. It was recommended by the governor at the time to make sure that we could deal with some of the impacts that were up in that area. We have there are funding out there. What we know is that as we build more buildings in the community college, there is cannibalism between the colleges, so that if you build dormitories, where do you go get your students? You go get them from your neighboring district. There are districts that are growing, and when they grow at the colleges that grow, they grow at the expense of their neighbors, so you recruit more students in it. So when you talk about nursing, we put a lot of money into nursing, and the question is do we need more statewide nurse training? If you build a facility in Riverton, they may simply be taking students from Cheyenne or Sheridan or Gillette, wherever they've got facilities. So we created the group and a select committee to go out and make an evaluation not only of who's the priority, but whether or not these are the types of buildings that we need to have as we go forward. I'll be the first to admit that Albany County doesn't pay a tax for college, and yet, and so in a sense, it may seem that I don't have a horse in this race. Interestingly enough, there is a campus of LCCC in Albany County, and the taxpayers here in Cheyenne are paying a tax to pay for the building over in Cheyenne. And the reason is that because they get more students, and as they get those more students, their portion of the finite pie increases. So they found there was good money in building a campus, paying for it here, building it in Laramie to recruit students, and members and the folks in Laramie appreciate it. Is it fair? No, I think Laramie, Albany County citizens should be paying a tax for that just like the rest of you do. But the testimony from the commission was that the rules to create the priority system, which will not only identify which buildings ought to be constructed and which ones will be constructed, those rules are underway this year, and so the commission did not bring forward any recommendations. The rules will be finished this year. They'll be bringing rules forward in the next year. Not too long ago, we did fund a new building at CWC that was once again a member-supported building for a brand new cultural center that was constructed with our dollars. State first, we gave half the money, and then they came back and we gave them more money to finish it out. So as you sort it out, I mean, I guess the question is do we simply say we don't have a system in place? So we're going to go ahead and fund the facilities, or do you say, let's come back, make the system work, let's put the new rules into place, let's have an evaluation system, and make sure that as we have a plan as we go through for all the community colleges and make sure that they're all treated fairly among each other and not simply cannibalizing each other to build facilities to recruit students from their neighboring districts. And come back next year when the process is working.
Senator Von Flatern, I think, and then go ahead, Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just to correct the good senator from Park County back there, it was actually the dormitory at Eastern about 6 years ago because of a mold issue. You remember that funding? And then 3 years ago, the bill was for Western, for LCCC, for Eastern, and for Sheridan Gillette. Eastern pulled out at the last moment because they had enough reversions from that dorm money we gave them and took care of a veterinarian class lab they were building.
and Western match for diesel and LCCC match for a health and science building, and then Gillette's new tech center, and then we matched half that up there. I will tell you that the Big West Academic Center had a different name about 4 years ago. I don't remember what it was. But if I'm not mistaken, it's a question for the sponsor. That's actually the student union. And it was on the list. I couldn't tell you where. And a question for the Fremont County sponsor. Was the vote for matching funds, or was it a vote for the building, to build the building as presented to the voters?
There are several questions here for sponsors, but we want to deal with other questions. So, Senator Scott, go ahead before we go to the sponsors.
Mr. President, speaking on for the amendment. Mr. President, I'm for this amendment because I think it fits into our strategy that we have for developing our state. When you look at what we're going through, we're in the middle of a mineral boom. It's had some times where it's been better than it is right now, but basically we're doing pretty well right now. And as a society, Wyoming, I think, has been very successful in dealing with our mineral booms. We've put in the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund. We've made major efforts to improve our education system, especially including our higher education system. It's the legacy we're leaving to the future. You know, and you look at the efforts we've done, the Hathaway, the various efforts at the university, construction over there, the endowment challenge, the work we're doing to improve the libraries at the university. We're trying to strengthen our higher education system. And this is part and parcel of that strategy. Part of the effort to leave our state when the mineral boom is all over, not with a hangover and a broke-down Cadillac like the proverbial rancher that hit oil, but with something permanent and lasting, strengthening our education system because the education is the key to the future. And Mr. President, I've heard the arguments back and forth on whether the process being developed and all that sort of thing. And that's well and good. But I think this is an opportunity to take one step further in the strategy that I think will benefit the whole state in the long run. And I would urge the Senate to seize the opportunity and take the step.
I have a discussion before I go back to the sponsors. I'm going to call on Senator Case.
Mr. President, you know how it is in some of these communities in Wyoming where you have this great rivalry between two towns. You know, we've got famous rivalries in southwest Wyoming. We've got a pretty famous rivalry in central Wyoming between two communities that my good colleague from Fremont County happens to be from one and I happen to be from the other. And it's with a great source of pride that I can kind of tickle his fancy a little bit by saying, I'm so proud that the community of Lander over-supported this bond issue by a greater margin than the community of Riverton did, even though the facility is going to be located in Riverton. That's a source to just make you proud and puffery. And, Mr. President, it was overwhelming support by the voters of both communities, and there was not an explicit guarantee that this would access matching funds, but certainly the campaign talked about the possibility that matching funds would have been available, talked about them being available in the past. When it comes right down to it, everything we've matched in the past has been, you know, either dollar for dollar or somewhat less, but this is coming in for a fraction of the matching funds that we've done in the past. Ball's in your court.
Other discussion before I go back to the sponsors. Senator Landon.
President, I appreciated the comments of the good senator from Natrona County, and I rise in favor of this amendment. Folks, these projects have been on the list for quite some time, and we've heard about a new process in place, year and a half old. We haven't quite got it done at the commission level, whatever. But these projects have been around, and the thing that impresses me, folks, and the reason I believe that we should support this amendment is the fact that these communities have come up with the matching money. That precedent has already been set. If those communities are willing to go out there and do what it takes and then come to us and say, can you help us? This is a statewide system, folks, that has over 22,000 students. The enrollments in those eight community colleges out there have spiked 15% in the last 3 years. The traffic is increasing. The classrooms are full. This is the right thing to do. I think it's a good amendment.
Other discussion? Senator Meyer, and then I'm going to go to Senator Hicks. Go ahead, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'm not sure if it's important or not, but we do have lines 15, 16, 17, and 18 is already in the budget. In your over in section 57, line 15, Big West Academic Center for $15,167,000. So it might be prudent, Mr. Chairman. I guess I'll make the motion to make that division is to divide 15, 16, and 17. And 18, and that be Division 2. And because, as I say, it's already provided for at this point in time as authorization.
Okay, I believe that is divisible. Division 2 being lines 15 through 18, and then the remainder of the amendment being Division 1. Being divided. We would be then speaking on the division.
Point of order.
Yes.
Chairman, I think we've got to clear something up in the budget bill.
Just a minute.
It was presented in the division.
This money was appropriated. Not
I have it here.
It's authorized, but it's not an appropriation. I think there is authorized as chief appropriation because it's kind of bad.
Minute, Senator Hicks. Budget does speak to an authorization. Line 23, page 52 of the budget says authorization for individual capital construction projects contained in this section. Senator Schiffer. Let's go back to the Senator Meyer. Senator Meyer, would you like to have a more thorough explanation in regard to your intention?
Yes, it is authorized where the other facility that's in this particular budget amendment is not authorized. So, and that is just authorization for construction. The good senator from Johnson County is correct that it isn't appropriated in the budget, but it's authorized for construction, and that's a process that we have as these things come through. The commission brings them to the JAC, says these are the things that are on our list, these are things that we want to have authorized for construction. We have some discussion about how that may or may not affect the maintenance formula, because there's a square footage formula. It's a finite piece of pie as far as the maintenance, and so that has to be spread over more square footage when we authorize these. And we have that discussion. We don't put any money in it, Mr. President, because we don't have any money in the specifically authorized in the budget for new maintenance for these square footages, but we just try to keep track of them. So there is a little difference between these two projects. If one fails, one is authorized already in the budget, and if one proceeds, the other one fails, there is no authorization at all as far as project from the good senator from Fremont County. So we have a little bit of different critter here, but it is true that an appropriation isn't available either in the budget, and the appropriation, I believe, in these ones is a little over $14
million. Senator Bebout? Mr. President, just to speak to the authorization, if you'll allow me that latitude.
Go ahead.
And I think that clearly that Central has been authorized and approved, and it was Senate File 124 that was in 2007, but I would be glad to dig that out and reassure the members of the Appropriations Committee, because from the get-go, I think both of these projects were clearly authorized, which requires the legislature to do that and for the governor to sign and so on and so forth. But what we're talking about here, Mr. President, is the appropriation.
Senator Nicholas, go ahead, Mr. Vice President.
There are this divided amendment has a Division 1 being the CWC facility and Division 2 being the Sheridan facility. When the colleges come, if they have their own private resources sufficient to construct a facility, it is often the case that they'll come and get an authorization to build with private resources, PR. Sometimes they'll ask, if they've got bonding capacity, they'll ask for bonding capacity, and so they'll authorize those funding to go forward. So I think the way these stack up is as follows. I believe that what's happened is that we authorized CWC to move forward to build a facility based upon their own bonding power. And their bonding power for Fremont County, whatever, they concluded that the voters voted in a $6.5 million building. And they have those funds, they'll go forward and they will build a $6.5 million building. And what the sponsors would like to have is another $11.5 million so that they can build a much larger building. And that much larger building has not gone through that process we've described. With respect to Sheridan must have believed that they might have the private local resources through grants, gifts, community, or whatever to build the academic center. So they sought and received from through the budget process the authority to use private funds to go and construct the West Academic Center. And now what they're asking is that it'd be nice if we only had to raise half of that money, if the state would pay the other half. I mean, it's that simple, I think.
Senator Schiffer, go ahead.
Okay. Mr. President, and I believe what I'm on, Mr. President, correct me if I'm going the wrong direction. We're on the appropriation of Division 1, which is lines 9 through 14. Is that correct?
I agree, and that would be referred to as the Fremont or CWC.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Mr. President, and let's look at a couple things, and I'm going to answer some of the questions that were asked in terms of this project. But first of all, looking statewide, this is an extremely favorable bid climate in this state. This is the time when we can really put up some buildings at a very, just because we're coming off the boom, we've got, quite frankly, we've got contractors that are hungry. And that's when you get a good bid price. And that applies to both projects, and it certainly applies to the one over in Riverton. Second thing, there was a question about enrollment. And a couple things I'll point out. Because of the quality of our education at these community colleges, we're getting students from out of state that are coming in for these courses, whether they be certificated courses, whether they be associate degree courses, or whether they be associate degree moving on to a four-year degree or even higher. The quality we offer is ahead of what any of our neighboring states offer. The price is right. It's a bargain for students, and students come looking for bargains because of the times we're in. The second thing, in terms of, and again, I'll point out in the letters, we're attracting industrial support from our good neighbors to the north. Again, it's because of quality and price and the ability to deliver. That's what we're doing. And it speaks well of our community college system, and this is an appropriation to strengthen that system. There was a question on when the rules would be done. I did ask when the rules would be done. That started, I believe, 18 months ago. When we worked on it, we met all across the state. And my takeaway from that is the rules will be done when the rules are done. And nobody can tell you when the rules will be done, but they will be done. If I were a gambling man, I'd say we can have both of these buildings up and students in the classroom, hopefully by the time the rules are done. There was concern over here. In terms of facility over in Fremont County, what I heard coming out of Fremont County is the town of Hudson swung the building, and they're laying halfway in between Lander and Riverton, and they carried the day, is what I know. Now I'll yield to my colleague from Fremont County. We're still on Division One, Mr. President.
Yes, we are on Division One, and that relates to the Central Wyoming College portion of the amendment. Does anyone like to speak to this to the first division? Go ahead, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and or Mr. President. And my comment, I'm not real sure how to, because my comments are more general, but I'm going to address it in with regards to this first division, simply because my sense is that, you know, we have a community college here in Cheyenne, and we tax ourselves, and I applaud the people in Fremont County or in Sheridan County. They tax themselves. But it seems to me that while we talk about it being a statewide system, it really isn't. I mean, it is a statewide community college system, but not everybody pays a tax. It's the people in those communities, in those counties that do it. And until we get a grip on that, it seems to me that there isn't much of a plan.
Is there any further discussion in regard to this first division? Senator Bebout, go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. On and for the first division, I just want to be sure that the members of the Senate understand that what we're talking about here is we did, in fact, in Fremont County, vote for and pass $11.5 billion bond. And that's million. Did I say billion? I'm used to the chairman of the Appropriations Committee coming with numbers. We'd like to have a billion, but we'll deal with millions right now. $11.5 million bond, and we did do that, and it's for approximately 30,000 square feet. And, yes, we could get by with that. But that's not what we're here to talk to you about today, because we think the right way to do it is to ask for the additional 6.5. So we're asking for a third, and the total project will be the combination of those two. We'll add an additional 20,000 square feet. And by doing it now, we could save anywhere between $750,000 and $2 million in doing it. And my colleague from Johnson County talked about the rules. I don't need to go over that again. We talked about cannibalism. I would submit to you that it's not about that at all. We have an opportunity here for the system to do better, and the community college as a whole are supporting this. my colleagues from Laramie County, I can sense your frustration. I am in a county that pays that tax, and I understand that. But we step up, and not only do we pay that tax, but we are now paying the bond and assuming that obligation as well. So I feel very comfortable coming to this body, members of the Senate, and making a case for why we should do both of these. They're good things. They're good for the system. They're good for the students. You know, and when I look at our state, my tall colleague from Natrona County kind of touched on that. You know, I'm proud of what we've done in Wyoming the last 10 years. You look at our university, and we laugh about the ivory towers, but I'm proud of the way that university is. And every time I go over there, I look at what we've been able to do, this legislature, and with our leadership, putting that together. Then I look at what we've done at our community colleges, and I'm proud of the money we spent. And I would hope that all of you, when you come to Sheridan or Riverton, and if we're successful and look at our buildings, that you would have that same pride that I have in what we've done for our state and how we've stepped up, and we're trying to help these 23,000 young people that want an education, particularly those that want the benefits that these kind of buildings would provide. So I would ask that you support the First Division.
Are we ready to vote on the First Division?
Yes.
Senator Hicks, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, on and for the First Division, but the same argument could be made for the Second Division. I will tell you, an investment in our community college is an investment in Wyoming. And I say that is because we may have a little bit of movement and cannibalization, but we're cannibalizing our states that are surrounding us. And I'm going to tell you why. Because at our junior colleges, we provide an affordable education and a very safe environment. And it shares the values of a lot of our neighbors. And here's another thing. When we build our junior colleges in the state of Wyoming, and we pull in these out-of-state students that want an affordable, safe education and a high-quality environment, a vast number of those students then funnel into the University of Wyoming. And I will also tell you that historically, the Wyoming students that go through the junior college system and then go on to the University of Wyoming typically have a higher graduation rate, especially from the small rural communities around Wyoming, than if they go straight into the university as a freshman. We're going to have a higher percentage of those graduates. There's a nurturing component that happens at a junior college that you do not get at a university. So I would contend that by building the junior colleges, we also build the enrollment at the University of Wyoming. So it's an investment in the state and our local communities, and I would urge that you support these.
Ready for the question on the First Division? First Division relates to the CWC Health and Science Center, lines 9 through 14. That's what we're voting on. And I would ask the clerk to call the roll on Division 1.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Amrick?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Slatern?
No.
President Anderson?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 19 ayes, 11 noes.
Division 1 has passed. We are now in Division 2. Would anyone like to address Division 2? Primary sponsor, Senator Schiffer, go ahead.
Mr. President, and I'll try and answer some of the questions that came up on the facility in Sheridan. One, what was in it? It's not a student union. There's no student union in it. I'll run down very briefly, and I can give more detail on what each of these rooms is about. There's a financial aid office, a veterans resource center, and remember, folks, coming right back to school are about 1,100 National Guard men and women that are enrolling at our junior colleges. We have a development center. We have the bulk of it. This is Area 4, engineering and math spaces. And again, I hope the Senate will recall my colleague from over in Albany County mentioned to you yesterday If the university has to update their labs, we're right with him. I think that was a great statement. I'm counting on him to step up when I'm done and talk about all labs in the state should be upgraded so that they're modern. I appreciate his words there, and I'm anticipating probably not hearing him again, but we all remember him from yesterday. Space 5 is a physics and a physics laboratory, again tying in with going on to higher education at some other school. Area 6 is engineering technology, including CAD. Let's see, CAD is CAD. Yeah, I know it's CAD, but CAD, your CAD, and a GIS. There's also an engineering prep room aligned with the engineering program at the University of Wyoming. And the third is a mathematics for the general education core and two general education rooms. So this is functional. This is meeting the needs of the community. We had another question on in terms of the statewide system. Obviously, where I live is in one of those counties that's covered by the area from Sheridan College. I have to say that as compared to the system we had even 10 years ago, the presence from Sheridan College, which is, you're right, where that's where the taxes are paid, but the presence in Johnson County has gone up in magnitudes of 10 or 20 or 30. They do offer the courses. They'll offer them in person. They'll offer them electronically. They are actively trying to outreach. What we do about a statewide community college system, that's a debate for another day. But I would suggest if you don't have strong colleges, the core, we can never go statewide. We got to have the credibility of good community college system. And Mr. President, I think that's all the questions that I heard or could remember. I ask for your support for Division II.
Further discussion on Division II, question being called. Division II, in regard to the Northwest Community College Big West Academic Center, lines 15 through 18 of the amendment, I'd ask the chief clerk to call the roll in regard to Division II.
Barnard. Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
No.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
No.
Hastert, Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
no.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
no.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Ross,
no.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
no.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing, vote closed, 19 ayes, 11 noes.
Division 2 has passed. With the passing of Division 1, Division 2, second reading amendment number 9 to Senate File 1 has passed in total. The next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 16, I'd ask that the reading clerk read that amendment in at this time.
Senate File 1, Second Reading Amendment 16, Budget Affection, Section 301.
Senator Nicholas, Mr. Vice President, I believe that's your amendment.
And I move Second Reading Amendment number 16 to Senate File 1. Ladies and gentlemen, what this does, we talked about a little bit in the explanation, but as it presently stands for the spending policy reserve account for the Permanent Wyoming Mineral Trust Fund, we put in language in the beginning of the biennium that the funds that would ordinarily tip will not tip into the corpus of the Permanent Wyoming Mineral Trust Fund until the end of the biennium. I told you then, I still believe it was a mistake to do that. I think that we want the state treasurer to make his decisions on buying and selling stocks in a decision that's based not upon generating short-term income for the state, but rather long-term income. And if you look at the goldenrod, you would see that if we had removed this prohibition to allow this fund to act as it normally will act, there would be about $15 million tripping into the corpus of the Permanent Wyoming Mineral Trust Fund at the end of the summer. Now, if we remove this, that will trip in at the end of the, July 1, at the end of the biennium. In addition, if other capital gains are recognized by the state, they would then trip into the corpus of the Common School Permanent Land Fund, the Permanent Wyoming Mineral Trust Fund as well. With respect to the policy, it seems to me that we made a mistake. We shouldn't have altered that long-term proposition that there will be annual contributions to the corpus to inflation-proof it. And we had a great discussion about what happens with real estate. If you hold it, it appreciates over time by its very natural, by its character. The reason for the policy was to allow the corpus to grow over time so that it would inflation-proof those dollars, so the same dollars, the dollar today has the same value that it does today 20 years from now. And interrupting that policy is a bad practice, I believe. So I would urge your support. Let's make these funds the spending policies operate the way they were intended.
Further discussion in regard to this amendment? This amendment doesn't include any monetary amounts, but I think it's a considerable policy request, and I would ask that the Chief Clerk call a roll on this one as well.
Barnard? Aye. Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Americh?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks? Hines,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote closed, 30 ayes.
Second reading, amendment number 16 has passed. Next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 27. I'd ask that be read in at this time.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment 27, budget affected local government distribution.
Senator Dockstader, would you like to speak to the amendment?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 27 to Senate File 1. Members of the body, our local governments have essentially been taking it on the chin as we've been going through these challenging times, yet we seem to see additional revenues for the state. State funding for local government capital needs in the 09-10 biennium was $234 million. Thus far for the 2011-12 biennium, it's $33 million, a drop of $201 million, 86%. Direct distribution, including food tax reimbursement for local government in the 09-10 biennium was $146 million. For the 2011-12 biennium, it's $87 million, a drop of $59 million, or 40%. Local government standard share of the state 4% sales tax in fiscal year 2010 was $179 million. This is a decrease of $45 million, or 20%, from the fiscal year 2009, and the lowest amount since 05. When the effect of the 5-cent local sales tax option is included, the drop from 09 to $74 million. Members of the body, this is a one-time proposal. It's not an ongoing earmark. Strictly one time. Now, no one
would disagree that our local governments have been lacking, but they do appreciate their support, what they've been given. It's much appreciated. I've heard that from them. But we're continuing on in the budget now. Our local governments need the resources to provide services to the public for the rest of the biennium. It's a fact, for the past 2 years, it's been very difficult for our local governments, probably more so than ever. If you check this handout that I gave out a little bit earlier today in reference to the 4-cent sales and use tax, recovery in the sales tax is not strong or broad enough to solve the local government fundings. So I'm bringing this amendment to you. Now, the past year has been very favorable for our state. We're in a good position right now to help our local governments. Even if the $10 million is approved, it still won't be the guaranteed stable funding they need, but it will help. No one can predict with any certainty what the sales tax levels will be in each county for the next 17 months. Statewide sales tax has come back from its lowest levels, but for a lot in the state, it's still sitting at about 06 or 07 levels. I'm asking for your favorable approval of this amendment designed to help our local governments. As you note, the change, the general fund, $10 million, allocated in accordance with city and town direct distribution, county direct distribution, city and town revenue challenged, county revenue challenged allocations. This one's for your local governments. These are the people who are on the front lines. I ask for your support.
Discussion. Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr.
Vice President.
Mr. President, when you look at the spreadsheet that the good gentleman handed out, and you begin to study what communities are doing well and which ones aren't, and whether you want to use 2006, 7, 8, 9, 10 as an analogy or as a basis for the future years, once again, you can see that there are some counties that are doing fairly well and there are some that aren't doing as well. Albany County, the year that was picked, the 07 year, was a high year because there was a natural gas pipeline that came through that through about that time. So if you compare the revenues to the other years, they're doing okay. We're going to have a couple choices here today, and I think I'm a strong supporter of local government. Came down here years ago to make sure that we did our share for local government. And when I hear the city management, when I hear the city council, I often hear from those folks, we need more operating funding. And when I talk to my constituents and I go door to door, they say, we need more money for capital projects. We simply don't need to put more money into operating to, I mean, you look at the police force, it's larger now than it ever was. You look at your fire forces, they're larger than ever. And the notion that you can grow and grow and grow and then expect, instead of going back to your local folks to say, hey, tax yourself and let's pay for operating funds, what I'm hearing from my constituents, other than the people that, I mean, they're the ones that are working today, they're not sitting on the internet emailing you hour and hour, the ones that are out working say, put the money into highways, roads, projects. That's where we want to see it. So the issue is twofold. One is, do you want to provide additional support to the cities, towns, and counties? And the second issue is, do you want to provide it to go into their operating budgets, or do you want to say, look, we want this money to go into capital projects, big projects?
Further discussion? Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I had a lot of discussion last year during the election year, and a lot of my city councilmen sat down with them, had a lot of different meetings, and what they told me is that we need some more capital funds because we've got that sewer project. We put some money into our account. It's sitting there, but we've got $2.7 million in there, and we need to get up to $3.5 million to finish that project. They've already made the tough choices as far as if they have to let a few folks go and cut down on their operating expenses. Those are tough choices that governments make in tough times, and these guys have already done that. Now, But we need to get some money into the capital construction. That's what your JAC did. We put the money all in the capital construction because that's what we heard out in the country this year, talking with our local councilmen, that we've got those little pots of money sitting there, but they're not enough to finish that last sewer project or that last bit of project that we needed to do. And so with that, Mr. President, your JAC decided to make sure that we funded those capital projects. Now, this goes to direct distribution. Maybe some more people will get rehired, or maybe they'll expand their police forces or do some other things that they think that they may need to do. But Mr. President, I think that the budget is well-funded for locals. We've always taken care of them, and this is probably an area that we don't need to prime the pump because it's running fairly well, Mr. President.
Other discussion, Senator Bernard?
Mr. President, I'd like to rise on and for this amendment. Having come just from the City Council of Evanston, I can tell you that the local cities around this state aren't as flush as you might think. I can tell you that they would greatly appreciate this money. It will be used well. It will be used wisely. This is a one-time shot. I really think this needs to be done, and I would ask for your support on this.
Thank you. Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just, I'm not sure why they picked 07. I think that was mentioned earlier. You could pick any year back, whichever you wanted to support or not support what you're after here. I also noticed that even in their own footnote that Weston County is doing quite well because of some sales tax from a particular project. But if we're using the inverse method of distribution, they're going to do quite well again. $10 million, just without being designated in any direction, will tend to do the same, create the same scenario we had here in this county, in this city, when suddenly state funding wasn't available and they'd been bolstering their operating costs and suddenly found themselves in quite a bind. So we've thought through what we're offering. I don't know why $10 million would be considered in this, but your JAC did think about how much and why we were doing it and what the reasons behind it were. So not such a great idea.
Senator Driscoll.
I raise in favor of this. I can tell you maybe some of the better counties near mine and some of the other areas, because of the size of their business base, are doing well. But when you're in a small county, they're not doing well. This is probably the biggest item outside of certain issues dealing with tenure and other things that I've got feedback from in my county and the other counties I represent. Our counties all together represent assessed valuation the size of one small county. We don't have good mineral money, and we struggle for the money. And I can tell you, everyone, when you're out in the country, they want money to come back into our local communities. We sit here day by day, and we do $6 million bucks for railroad crossings, which, well and done. We do all kind of, $3 million, I'm sorry, standard, but we give lots of money, 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 million bucks a whack. And we're talking statewide. We're not talking one county. We're talking statewide, $10 million out of a huge pot of surplus money. I can tell you it may have smaller impacts in towns like Gillette, but it has huge impacts in towns like Newcastle, Sundance, Moorcroft, Upton, towns in my district. We have a hard time keeping taps on our policemen. You know, it's a struggle. And I'm telling you, $10 million makes a huge impact in small counties, and I'm guessing it's across the states that way. I encourage you to vote for it. It's a small amount of money when you compare to, go down through your list and look at all the $10 million that's there, and they're there by the dozens.
Other questions or comments? One more before the sponsor raises. Go ahead, Senator Christensen.
Coming from the counties just recently, you know, there was and in recent communication, there's a real desire to look for a more stable funding source. And then the key word, while they didn't want to use it, was earmarks and percentages and guarantees. And I respect that we all want those kind of things. But I also recognize there's challenges and long-term challenges when you start making those kind of commitments. This seems to be a a mechanism, a tool to help provide some of that relief and help these organizations in my community. It does make a difference, and they are making changes, 25% reduction in the last 2 years in just the county budget. And so these things, every little bit does make a difference. And if we're going to be able to help, this seems like a reasonable way to do it, as opposed to stepping right up to the idea of long-term earmarks. And if we can, great, but I'm a little new at this.
Another discussion before... Go ahead, Senator Dockstader, make your final...
Thank you, Mr. President. Appreciate the comments that have been made here this afternoon. Remind you that these are the folks out on the front lines. They're trying to adjust their budgets. They're trying to adjust to the cutbacks. And I commend them. They're doing a good job. This one-time $10 million funding will help them with their operations. It'll help them through difficult times. I heard a comment last week talking about one project would help Wyoming, quote, its communities. I listened close. I said, the communities across the state? Well, this one is one that truly helps the communities across Wyoming. I ask for your serious consideration and approval of this amendment.
Question? Question being called in regard to second reading amendment number 27. There is an appropriation. I'd ask the chief clerk to call the roll.
Barnard?
Aye.
Vebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Yes.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
No.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon? Martin?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothbus?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Anderson?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 15 ayes, 15 noes.
Second reading amendment number 27 has failed. The next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 10. I'd ask the reading clerk to read that in at this time.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment 10, budget affected, local government distribution.
Senator Cooper, would you like to move and speak to that amendment, please?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 10 to Senate File 1. Mr. President, as we've been discussing here the various approaches to how we're approaching this, helping these local governments out, I guess if we didn't like the last amendment, maybe we'll like this one better. So anyway, I'll proceed from that point on. It's like trying to skin a cat another way here. Mr. President, over the last several years, cities and towns and counties have suffered, as it was mentioned earlier, huge drops in their sales tax and revenues. This has put a tremendous pressure on them for trying to develop and complete their local capital projects and being able to fund them. Our local governments have struggled through these difficult years and have done all kind of unimaginable things, of like cutting back services in other ways and things like that. But the thing that is no matter, even if you cut back costs a lot of times, there is still a need in many cases for several types of projects that need to be updated and upgraded that are require capital dollars. But a lot of these communities and counties have actually totally eliminated or practically eliminated most of all of the capital improvement projects. A number of years ago, the legislature approved a system by which the cities, towns, and counties can use a consensus method
of funding their capital projects. And that seems to have worked rather well. But sometimes I think we kind of lose sight of the fact of what our local governments provide for us and the services to our citizens. It would be difficult for many of those services to actually be provided by us at the state level. Things like, you know, picking up your garbage and maintaining local water and sewer system, law enforcement, jails, the court system, and a court system at several levels, not just at one, but maintaining thousands of miles of rural and roads and streets in the cities and collecting our taxes and building all kinds of public facilities for the edification of the citizens of Wyoming. But most of all, Mr. President, they provide for us a place that we can proudly call and say is our hometown or our home county. Our hometowns and counties need this $10 million that's in this appropriation, Mr. President, for these capital improvements that they have not been able to complete over the past several years. And with that, Mr. President, I'd ask for your favorable consideration of this amendment.
Comments? Questions? Question being called in regard to second reading amendment number 10 to Senate File 1. I'd ask the Chief Clerk to call a roll.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen? Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Esquibel,
aye. Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
no.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
no.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
no.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
no.
Scott,
Von
Flatern, President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 18 ayes, 12 noes.
Second reading amendment number 10 has passed. Next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 22.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 22, budget affected. Data center recruitment.
I believe that is the Dockstader amendment. Would you like to address that, Senator Dockstader?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 22 to Senate File 1. Members of the body, I understand that much work and study has gone into this project, but when it came time to review it yesterday, we seemed to kind of just breeze by $15 million there. I became concerned. Granted, it's a grant to cities, towns, counties for necessary public infrastructure and recruitment of operations and data centers with the appropriate criteria. I wonder if it wouldn't be advisable this time to ask a few more questions about this. Is it proper? What would we use this $15 million for? We seem to avoided some other channels in getting the funding here, where it's just brought into the budget here. I'd like to have some questions answered on this and obviously have some concerns that we're going to spend $15 million like this.
Senator Burns, go ahead.
Mr. President, I don't know if I like this amendment or not, but it does give me the opportunity to ask a question I was wondering about. The governor's recommendation letter on this particular item was $14,500,000, yet the JAC's budget bill is $15 million, so I'm wondering where the difference of the half million came from, and if I don't have a good answer, I've got a better use for it.
Okay. Senator Schiffer, go ahead.
But just to further satisfy my curiosity, could we get the response both on this section, and I believe there's an additional grant coming through the Wyoming Business Council, and could we kind of get the amount on that? And what it's going to be used for, because I believe it ties directly to this, and it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $10 million.
Other commentary, other questions? Senator Dockstetter, it doesn't seem to be any. Would you like to? Senator Nicholas, go ahead. Mr. Vice President.
It's never fun to have to defend a appropriation, but I should have to defend it. Vice President, there is one community that looks like it may be vying for this mega center. I don't know if it'll ever come. The entity that was looking at doing this is proposing two data centers. One is already triggered to be built in the east in New York, and the other one they've eyed a site in Laramie, north of Laramie, at a place where there's no infrastructure.
You need a break.
If they do come, it's expected that it'll be in the next 18 months to pull the trigger. I hope it is. There's part of me that wonders if it's a marketing ploy to get other states to generate greater interest. Having said that, we do know that Wyoming is poised in a particularly unique position of having fiber optic along I-80. We have cold weather, which seems to be a major factor in the cooling, and we have excess power being generated up in the Campbell County area that producers would like to sell their power to these large consumer users. So it looks like it's a great benefit. It's being proposed to go in the community that frankly has the lowest assessed per capita evaluation of anyone in the Wyoming. And that's principally, you know, the reason is because there's one major entity there that doesn't pay any taxes. And if you look at all the numbers, this community has lower assessed valuation than any other community. The community has, on account of that, applies every our mill levies are generally maxed out. And when you go buy things in Laramie, you know that you're paying all the optional taxes. There is a precedent for large project appropriations. We appropriated funding for Laramie County for a variety of issues, not only for their business parks, but for their parks out at for the NCAR facility. We took out a large amount of infrastructure there for the GE facility. We took out infrastructure for it. We put in the infrastructure to all of their business parks. In Campbell County, we've done a number of things to develop out for unique situations. So it's a unique issue. The area where this facility is looking at in Laramie is an area that's north of town by a substation that is constructed by the WAPA facility that takes it through the north of Laramie. There is no infrastructure there, and it needs to be extended. It happens to be up on a rim above existing services, so that it's not simply a matter of just taking the streets out. You got to take it up a hill. You got to take the utilities up. It's an expensive proposition, and one, frankly, that Laramie could ill afford. And if this does come in, and you're talking about 200 jobs, and you're talking about increasing the assessed valuation in Albany County by 40%, it's a good project, so I'd urge you to defeat the amendment. I hope I've answered all the questions. I've not asked my colleagues to help.
Senator Hicks, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, just a clarification again, because we did see in another bill a budget that comes through, I believe, for $10 million to do infrastructure work. And is this the same project that this $15 million would be for? I guess. I need some clarification. Is this duplicate funding for the same project?
Senator Case, go ahead, and then we'll go to Senator Rothfuss. He may have some answers. Go ahead, Senator Case.
Mr. President, I'm kind of curious here. Is this the same project that we passed a tax break for out of this bill? So it seems to be pile on and go, go, go. I wonder if we've gone a little too far.
Senator Rothfuss, would you like to speak to this?
Thank you, Mr. President. Regrettably, I don't have an answer to the senator from the mother county as far as the $10 million. I'd need some more clarification on which $10 million that is to know whether or not that's specifically relevant to this project. We've seen a lot of $10 million running around, so it's hard to say which $10 million. But regarding the particular $15 million that we're talking about, Mr. President, I'd like to remind the fellow senators here that as my colleague was indicating, we're trying to provide infrastructure largely to hook into power services that are then going to be generating power and funds and revenue in other counties around the state. We don't have a lot of direct electrical power generation within our county where this is going to be put in. So this $15 million is basically going to be tapping into resources that are then going to be generating wealth and revenues in the rest of the counties of the state. So it's not a specific local incentive. It's again, an incentive to try and make sure that we have the best possible area, the best possible development in place to lure in this potential enterprise. And while my colleague from Fremont County is indicating that we've already got this total tax revenue and these other incentives, as we discussed previously, Mr. President, this is all part of a package. It's all part of an overall package that right now looks attractive. And you're right, it's a large package. I can't deny that. But again, if we don't have a large package in place, if we don't have all of the resources in place to make this more attractive than our competitors, which are the other states in the country, we're just not going to get it. So again, we can take this principled stand. We can do that, and we can cut these resources. But what it means is we don't get anything. We're not in a position where we can just make a lot of cuts and make these principled stands and still expect these large data centers to come to the state of Wyoming. This is a very positive project from an economic standpoint for the entire state. And, Mr. President, I would certainly urge rejection of this particular amendment.
Senator Von Flader, and then we'll go to Senator Scott.
Mr. President, if there was another bill out there for $10 million, it should show up if it passed either House. It should show up on this goldenrod, and I really can't find it.
Senator Scott, go ahead.
Mr. President, and we did have quite a debate on the bill on the tax breaks the other day, and I stayed out of it. But it seems to me that with this development is a good strategic fit, Mr. President, with the other things we're doing. Now, the same kind of people who'll be working to support the NCAR facility, not the scientists, but the technical people. Same kind of jobs. Some of the same basic appeal. We've got the interconnection with the fiber optic. We've got the power available. And so if you look at getting Wyoming a high-tech component to its economic development, this is a sensible project to do. There will be an anchor that will bring in other things. And for that reason, I would urge us to support the project and defeat the amendment, even though it may not be a project for our community. If we strictly evaluate all these, what's it do for my district, we never get anywhere as a state. And when you get one like this that is a good strategic fit for a whole section of the state, I think we ought to support it.
Senator Case, and then we'll go to the sponsor.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, I spent a lot of the best years of my life in the community where this is going to go. And one thing I know about that community is it had pretty tough winters, but it had the most wonderful summers you ever saw. Just absolutely beautiful summers. Never got too hot. You know, and it was just a great, green, wonderful place. You know what? That climate happens to be the big driver of what's going on here. Because this entity produces a lot of heat. That's what computers do. And, they need to locate it in the very best possible place where they can lower their cooling costs. They have found it.
And it way exceeds anything that's in New York or any of the other Midwestern states. And I lived in Illinois for a while, and that was like having the worst summer you ever saw in your life, you know, Mr. President. They need these cooling days. And no one, you know what else happens here? We also got cheap electric power. Compared to any one of those states, we're cheaper. No one has done the math to figure out whether we actually need to provide these incentives, because the overwhelming issues with respect to the utility savings are gigantic. And it's just a poker game. I know there's a lot of poker players back on this row, but these guys will never figure out right now if we're bluffing or not, because we'll just keep giving and keep giving and keep giving, and we're going to give it all away. They want to come here. They will come here based on the electricity demands, bar none.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, the chairman of JAC had asked if he had hoped he had answered all the questions. And the two questions I did not hear a response to was the good senator from KC as to whether or not there was already a Wyoming Business Council grant to this purpose, and the other was my question about the difference between the governor's letter at $14.5 million and the $15 million in the bill.
Go ahead, see if you can answer that.
Thank you,
Vice President.
Mr. President, I can answer that. With respect to the $15 million, where it was arrived at in JAC was the threshold for these data centers is well below what folks that are coming to Laramie are proposing to spend. During the hearings, there was a great interest expressed that other data centers may want to locate in Cheyenne, and they might want, Cheyenne may need part of these resources. So the JAC put the money at $15 million. Instead, the $15 million is not guaranteed to any community, and we specified that the governor would decide where the money was going to go and which community would receive it. No community is assured that they will get any or part of the $15 million unless the governor goes through the exercise of making sure that there were that they've met all the requirements that set out that you see in the bill. So the $15 million was not set aside for Albany County. It was for data centers in general. And whether or not how it's allocated, we simply don't know. But there are other data centers now looking at Wyoming, partly for the reasons that my colleague from Fremont County mentioned. With respect to the Wyoming Business Council, my understanding is there are no grants that have been awarded. However, it is my belief that the Business Council has a source of an allocation for dollars to help subsidize power rates for short term. The power rates, whether or not they're eligible for those, my assumption is they will. My assumption is they will be applying for those grants. My belief is, and my understanding is that this is a new project, that no grant applications have been filed, but it would be my expectation that if they get serious that they would file for grants through the Business Council, but those would generally be for incentives for power reduction costs, which are being offered in other areas to make us more more competitive. You know, everything that's true that's talked about, Mr. President, is true. But the one thing that, having lived in Laramie, Albany County for a long time, most of my life, all of my adult life, the one thing that Laramie doesn't have that is difficult is we don't have great access. It is cold for a large part period of the year. But what we really don't have is the workforce. And we believe that we can grow our workforce. We're not seeing the growth in Laramie that you see here in Cheyenne. We hope to change that with some of these great opportunities. This is the first one where we see that people want some great resources that we have. I've got four children. None of them come back to Laramie. There simply are no jobs. And these are the type of opportunities that will bring our children back, hold them. If we get more of these facilities like this, then we bring in people whose spouses are well-educated. They associate with the Wyoming. They bring in research dollars. It takes a lot of things to make a great university, and one of the things we need are great industry alongside the university. This is a complementary type of business that would help the tax base. And, you know, folks, it's just as likely they'll come to Cheyenne or other data centers will come to Cheyenne. And ultimately, the question is, or do we want to lay the foundation for that recruitment effort?
Thank you. Go ahead. Final shot, Senator Dockstetter.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good debate. Appreciate what has been said here. In summary, it's not a concern of what one community gets or another. I thought the tax incentive we did was great. I was with that and for that. Saw the potential for the region and the area. But when we come to spend $15 million and just simply breeze by without a question, I'd like to know. I thought there were programs we went through, SLIB and other programs, where we could ask these questions and refine a little more. This one may take a little courage for an aye vote, so ask for your favorable consideration. Thank you.
I'd ask the chief clerk to call the roll in regard to second reading amendment number 22, I'm sorry. Second reading amendment 22.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
No.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
No.
Coe.
No.
Cooper.
No.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
No.
Esquibel.
No.
Geist.
Aye.
Hastert.
No.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
No.
Jennings.
No.
Johnson.
No.
Landon.
No.
Martin.
No.
Meyer.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
No.
Peterson.
No.
Ross.
No.
Rothfuss.
No.
Schiffer.
No.
Scott.
No.
Von Slatern.
No.
President Anderson.
No.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 8 ayes, 22 noes.
By your vote, second reading amendment number 22 has failed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have some relief for us?
Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand in ease for a 5 to 10 minute break.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, that motion has carried. We are at ease.
Test.
Senate will come back to order.
We don't have a quorum.
Senate is back in order in regard to Senate file number 1. We're looking now at second reading amendment number 15. I'd ask the reading clerk to read in that amendment.
Senate file 1, second reading amendment 15, budget affected, section 349, capital construction.
Senator Meyer, would you like to move and speak to the amendment, please?
Mr. President, no, I'm not going to move it. I'm going to withdraw it because I believe that this is... almost legislating in the budget, and we have time to address this over the course of the summer, and I think it would be more properly looked at in the full course and debate of a committee, and so I would withdraw it at this time, Mr. President.
Second meeting amendment number 15 has been withdrawn by the sponsor. Next amendment for our consideration, second reading amendment number 11. I'd ask that that be read in at this time.
Senate file 1, second reading amendment number 11, budget affected, addition to 300 section.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 11 to Senate file 1. Mr. President, this amendment doesn't provide any new money. What this amendment does, Mr. President will recall, a number of years ago, we set up a subsidy program for the ethanol plant. And I handed out a Wyoming ethanol credit history table. It's in your handouts, starting in 1995 and going through 2010. In 1995, we were broke, and we wanted to encourage to be ahead of the curve on climate change, and so we encouraged the youth use of ethanol. And since that time, we've spent $30 million. Look on the bright side, we created 22 jobs. It's a great deal. But all of that money came out of the highway fund. And you can see the breakdown down below. Out of the state fund, it's been $17 million. Out of each of your county funds, it's been $8.5 million. And out of your municipalities, they've contributed $4.6 million. What this amendment does, it says leave that money in the highway fund. Let it go where it's supposed to go. And we'll subsidize our efforts at preventing climate change in Goshen County in the Panhandle of Nebraska out of the general fund. It's a really good program. I commend it. I don't remember whether I supported it at the time, but I'm a true believer. It's money well spent, but let's take it out of the proper coffee can, and it should legitimately come out of general fund and not from the highway account. This will put the money back in to Blacktop and all those good things that we do with the highway fund. I ask for your favorable consideration.
Questions? Discussion? Senator Jennings?
Mr. President, I was wondering, does it still take more BTUs to make ethanol than it delivers?
Other questions? Senator Meyer?
Mr. Chairman, on a rhetorical question, I think this is a good, efficient, highly efficient ethanol plant down there next to the good county of Goshen and the good county of Goshen, and I would say that they're probably just a smidge above that at this point in time, Mr. President. Mr. President, speaking on and against amendment, folks, if we take the stance that we're going to go into every one of the places where we have made adjustments in the budget or tax credits or different programs and funded them out of the general fund on a specific basis, we could be here till the cows come home or maybe until they run across the hill and end up clearing Johnson County. I'm not sure. But, Mr. President, the situation certainly is that this has been an effective tax credit. It does come out of the highway funds. And we as a body over the course of the number of years have always made provisions to make sure that we have plenty of funds available to the highway department for construction well above the tax credits that incentivize this industry. And the way the structure is in the ethanol tax credit bill, it is for one specific county, it's for the whole state. And although we do have an ethanol plant in my neck of the woods, I think this is the wrong way to go about going into different tax credits. If you want to look at it, every incentive program that we have, whether it's the film industry or whether it's the things that we've done on cities, towns, and counties as far as demarking on the food tax, whether it's the different tax credits that we developed this year for manufacturing, and go into each one of those different categories and fund them out of the general fund. Mr. President, I think it's probably the wrong way to send the rabbit down the trail, and we probably would say that this dog shouldn't hunt, and let this thing die a silent death.
Other discussion, questions before the sponsor stands his second time? Go ahead, Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, I'll try and answer the concerns. I have no idea in terms of the BTU. I know it's a very good incentive. Quite frankly, without the incentive, that industry wouldn't exist. Because remember, we provide a very lucrative incentive. Let me give you an example. If you go to the 85% ethanol mix, which is the new standard they're using, we incentivize it to the tune to this specific of 40 cents a gallon. That's pretty good, considering our fuel tax is only 13 cents. So you can do the math and understand what a great commitment we have to prevent climate change. And understand, this amendment, it does not change the level of funding at all. It keeps it right where it is. What it says is, we have some money in the general fund. In terms of our road monies, and I'm talking about both for YDOT and your local entities, if this amendment goes through, over the next, we've been at this from 95 till now, that's about 15 years. That's an additional $30 million into your roads. Now, that's a significant amount of money. You start talking about your streets. I've heard a lot of discussion today. Our communities need help. That's where that money goes. It is a way, I make no bones about it, to get some more money to our local communities for the infrastructure that they need so badly. I don't mind the subsidy for ethanol. It's great. I don't want to cut that. That isn't what this does. But I want to get the money into our local communities where we need it and let them use it equally wisely and do their thing with it. I ask for your support for the amendment.
Question? Question in regard to second reading amendment number 11. I'd ask the reading clerk or the chief clerk to call a roll.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebelt?
No.
Ferns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen? Co?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Amrick?
No.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
No.
Hines? Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
no.
Martin,
no.
Meyer,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Ross,
no.
Rothbus,
no.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
no.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Anderson,
no.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 10 ayes, 20 noes.
Second reading amendment number 11 has failed. Next amendment for consideration is second reading amendment number 12. Reading clerk to read that in at this time.
Senate file 1, second reading amendment 12, budget affected, addition to 300 sections.
Senator Geis, would you like to speak to this?
Mr. President, I move second amendment number 12. And what this does is there's five small hospital districts around Wyoming that do not have enough money to buy the computers and all the things to get up to the 21st century. There's $2 million in here that goes into the public health. And what it'll do is each one of them can go up to get $400,000 to get so they can get on the computer and be able to talk to all the others like the rest of the other hospitals. Everybody else is all computerized, and they can talk to Laramie or wherever they want. and the counties that need this help are Hot Springs County, Hospital, Powell, Sundance, Newcastle, Lusk. Those are the ones that need the help, and I'd ask you to vote aye on this amendment.
Senator Coe?
Mr. President, just to talk a little bit more about it, this is all part of the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009. And that really requires all hospitals out there, including these small critical care hospitals, to become what they call meaningful users of electronic health records. And it provides for incentive payments for those hospitals that do become meaningful users. Conversely, hospitals that do not become meaningful users will suffer reductions to their Medicare reimbursements. If they do become users, there's Medicare incentives for them. Some hospitals, and the good senator from Warski County alluded to those that are out there, standalone critical access hospitals without access to the resources of hospital systems or larger partners, if they don't have those particular partners, or if they are not a larger hospital, they have trouble coming up with these monies. So what this program does, it goes in and it's a grant program. Maximum grant's $400,000. There's $2 million in there that goes away and reverts back June 30th of 2012. Now, this doesn't mean that all that money will be utilized. It doesn't mean that. But the bottom line in this amendment is that we do have some smaller hospitals, particularly up in the Bighorn Basin. And if we're serious about rural health care and the type of critical access that these hospitals can provide, we try to support this amendment. Don't know for sure how much will be used of it, but it is out there, and there are incentives, and there's takeaways. And my good friend, the tall senator from Natrona County, probably knows a lot more about this than I do, but that's what the amendment does, and I'd ask that you support it, is for the benefit of what I consider rural health care in this state, and this is a state that direly needs rural health care. I'd ask that you support the amendment.
Questions? Question being called. Go ahead, Senator Hicks.
Question for the sponsors, Mr. President. Are these grants 100%, or is there going to be some requirement for some local match?
Senator Geis, would you like to answer that?
Mr. Chairman, I can't tell you whether there's a local match with the hospitals. If they can't afford it, they can't afford it. I mean, they're taking all their operating expenses to run the hospitals they have right now. So they can go down there and get up to $400,000 if that's what they need. If they don't need that much and they got their own part of it, then it'll be less than that.
Any other questions? Go ahead, Mr. Vice President.
Mr. President, it's hard to talk about this because it's not a bill that was proposed or came through the administrative process of the executive branch. So the Department of Health didn't ask for the money. I see that there is a House bill out there. It seems to me that we can say no to this, and then after we've learned more about the program, take a look at it. It appears to be a committee bill. An interim committee bill, but let's reject it here and force the committee bill to live or die on its merits.
Senator Geis, I would offer you a last time here if you wanted to speak. Any other commentary here, Senator Driscoll?
Maybe live and die for these districts. Part of them are in my district. These hospitals can't afford anything. Lusk has had a terrible go of it. Newcastle's had a hard time. Sundance has had a hard time. This, whether it comes or goes, may mean the difference whether some of these rural communities have hospitals, and they don't have a lot of time. I'd encourage you to vote for it. It's going to come one way or the other, and it may mean the difference whether they're here or not.
Ready for the question? Senator Coe, go ahead. You're one of the sponsors.
Mr. President, just one more point to try to answer the question. This is a grant program. There is no local match required in this that I'm aware of. It is a grant program.
Assuming everybody's had their chance, I'd ask the chief clerk to call a roll in regard to second reading amendment number 12.
Barnard? Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen? Co?
Aye.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
No.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines. Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
No.
Landon.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Meyer.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Nutting.
No.
Perkins.
No.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
No.
Rothfuss.
No.
Schiffer.
No.
Scott.
No.
Von Platern.
No.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Christensen.
No.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 13 ayes, 17 noes.
Second reading amendment number 12 has failed. Next amendment for consideration, second reading amendment number 13.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 13, budget affected, addition to 300 sections.
Senator Perkins, I think that is yours.
Mr. President, the co-sponsor and I located a minor error in this, and so we'll withdraw this and bring it back on the next reading with your
second reading amendment. Amendment number 13 has been withdrawn by the sponsor. Next amendment for a consideration, second reading amendment number 20. I'd ask that be read in at this time.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 20, corrected copy. Budget affected, addition to 300 sections.
Senator Scott, would you like to speak to this, please?
President, move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, this amendment doesn't spend any new money. What this amendment does is say, of money we're planning to save, how are we going to save it? And as the budget stands before us, as I understand it right now, this diversion that we've gotten, addition to that we're sending an additional 1% of the severance taxes to the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund. As I understand it right now, the whole of that is going to go into the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund. The governor had other ideas, but they got rejected by the JAC, and they're not in the budget. What this amendment says is let's take half of that and let's put it instead of the permanent funds, which is our permanent savings, where we can't get the money back, Mr. President. Let's put it in the Legislative Stabilization Reserve account, which is really our rainy day fund that we can, where we can get at the money and can spend it if we have, if we get in trouble. And the reason I bring this, Mr. President, is I think we're at a point where there are some extraordinary risks that are facing us, where we need to have more reserves than we have right now. And those risks, let me just review a couple of them. One is to our natural gas market. With the new discoveries, the new techniques for getting gas out of shale, we have competitors in Arkansas, Louisiana, Texas, we didn't have before. We have competitors in New York, Pennsylvania, that part of the world with the Marcellus Shale, we didn't have before. Our gas, natural gas, is under extreme price pressure in the marketplace. Maybe some of you have noticed that in spite of the cold winter they've had in the east, the natural gas prices have not come up the way they often do. So we've got some big risks on our revenue side there, Mr. President. At the same time, there's some big risks on the expenditure side, coming in good part out of the national health reform, which looks to me like it's going to increase our health care spending, whether we like it or not, significantly. So we've got a risk there. Now, we've got all kinds of other risks as that we've always had with our dependence on minerals on the revenue side. But it seems to me those risks are growing, so I bring this amendment as saying, let's take part of this money, and instead of saving it in the permanent funds where we can't get at it, save it in the LSRA where we can get at it if we have an emergency in the next biennium or two, And, Mr. President, I think there's a reasonable probability that will happen. It's fortunately not a certainty, but it's a reasonable probability, and I think we would be wise to take precautions. That's what this amendment does, and I would urge the Senate to adopt it.
Discussion? Senator, Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. The effect of the amendment is to take $68 million that's presently forecasted to go into the corpus of the Permanent Mineral Wyoming Trust Fund and take that $68 million and put it into the LSRA. And it's a matter of philosophy. I urge you to vote no. It seems to me that as we go through this process, we have a variety of objectives. But one of our objectives is certainly to build the corpus of the Permanent Mineral Wyoming Trust Fund as rapidly, as large as we can, to in order to generate revenue in future years when these commodity prices fall. And, I mean, in an ideal world, if you take all the money you're getting off federal mineral royalties, severance taxes, the day you pull out your last gallon of gas or your natural gas, that wouldn't be a gallon, but your cubic foot of natural gas, your last ton of coal, this count would be large enough to replace that income. And that's the ideal objective. And the only way to get there is to continue to save. I don't know what you do when you lose these commodity prices. You look at the amount of support we have, but you look at the surpluses we have, and it seems to me that we have enough resources to save, to take care of our current needs, take care of our long-term needs, and take care of our needs 3 or 4 years ago. So we can build the LSRA. We can. There's enough money to pay for the things that we're doing, and we can continue to save for the long term. So I'd urge you to vote no.
Other discussion? Senator Von Fladen.
Mr. President, I just wanted to remind the body there's a little over $1 billion in LSRA, so I think we're probably pretty good in the short term.
Other discussion? Senator Scott, would you like a final comment?
Mr. President, my colleague from Albany County is exactly right. It is a philosophical question. Where should we do our savings? And I'll remind the Senate of two things. One, our savings from the explanation we had of the budget yesterday, our savings as a percentage of our expenditures are not as good as they were back when the previous boom ended. And I lived through that as a member of this legislature, and I'll tell you, we really scrambled to find enough money to get by. We had to increase taxes on people. That was not a pleasant thing to do, but we did it because we absolutely had to. And we need to have, yes, it sounds good to have $1 billion in our rainy day fund, the LSRA. But, Mr. President, if some of the things that could well happen to us do happen to us, $1 billion isn't going to be enough, given the way our expenses have increased. So I would urge us to pass the amendment and put a higher percentage of our savings into the emergency reserve that we can draw on if we get in trouble.
Okay. Ready for the question? If there's a considerable policy shift, I'd request that the clerk call the roll.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case? Christensen?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich?
No.
Esquibel?
No.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
No.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
No.
Martin?
No.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Nutting?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson? Ross,
no.
Rothfuss,
no.
Schiffer,
no.
Scott,
no.
Von Fleitern,
no.
President Anderson,
no.
Closing, Perkins, no to aye. Closing vote, closed. 5 ayes, 25 noes.
Second reading amendment number 20, corrected copy, has failed. Next amendment for consideration, second reading amendment number 23, I'd ask that be read in at this time.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 23, budget affected, addition to 300 sections.
Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 23 to Senate File 1. Members of the Senate, over the years, and for those of you who've been here a lot longer than I, it seems like we should be a little concerned. I understand that in 01 we had a budget of $3.8 billion, and to 2010 we're at $8.3 billion, quite an increase. My constituency asks us, they see reports, they say, look at the number of employees we have in ratio to the population of this state. Shouldn't we have some concerns? Shouldn't we take a little closer look at it? So with that, I bring you the Section 351 and the amendment. The development of the 2013-14 budget, the Joint Appropriations Intern Committee shall select two state agencies and require those agencies to submit a zero-based budget. The committee shall notify the agencies selected, the governor's office, and the Department of Administration and Information not later than May 1st. The agencies, the Department of Administration, and the information in the governor's office shall consult with the committee regarding the format required for zero-based budgeting. Now, for the purpose of this is what zero-based budgeting means. It means a budget that is presented without regard to any previous level of services or personnel during any preceding biennium. This is a pilot project. I ask for your consideration.
Discussion, Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, just a question for the sponsor. Zero-based budgeting, if you actually go to implement it, it means somebody from the legislature has to walk through that budget process from day one, because at day one, it's zero. If the agency, you can't have the agency walk through it from day one, or you'll get about the same result you've gotten for the past however long, since 1981, which is when we started the present system. My question is for the sponsor, will we see a similar amendment? Because you'll have to have the Joint Appropriations Committee meet through May, June, July, August, and September, which is when the budget rec comes in to set up this budget. Will we see a corresponding amendment to finance that committee to hold the hearings necessary for zero-based budgeting?
Is there other questions? I'll go to Senator Perkins first. Go ahead, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against the amendment, and I salute my good friend. Anybody who's been through this process today, we can tell it's difficult. And as we come with our budget, I think we're about, last count is some $20 million or so ahead of the budget today. That's what we've increased the budget today. But zero-based budgeting is, you know, it's a wonderful idea, and it works really well, particularly, I think, in industries, individuals in private industry where you have the ability to monitor as each day and formulate that budget. Having been through the budget process, the county commission, what we have is we have a level of services that are out there that are already mandated. We've mandated them through statute that these things will be provided, and they cost. And we can go back and we certainly need to go back, Mr. President, and I would support consistent review. We have the Management Audit Committee. We have all those things, and we need to do a better job. The governor needs to do a better job of going down and looking at the programs we do, finding those that work, finding those that don't work, finding those that should be revised, and we all need to do a better job with that. We had a similar proposal for zero-based budgeting that came through Revenue Committee this year. I think it was this year. And we looked at that. We tried to look at that and see how it would fit, and ultimately we rejected bringing that bill out of committee for those same reasons. And so while I salute the idea, I salute the project of becoming more efficient and more accountable and more transparent, I think that to do this, particularly in a budget amendment as significant as this will be, is not the right way to go about it, Mr. President. Thank you.
Senator Nicholas, Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. The folks, I'd like to know more about what's intended by zero-based budget, what it means in different people's mind's eye.
Just a minute, Senator Nicholas. Having some difficulty getting this thing to...
There we go.
Ease it up. No, it shut itself off. Just a minute.
There, how about that?
Try that. Okay.
All right.
Mike, check. Go ahead, Senator.
Mr. President, I think the word zero-based budgeting in most people's mind's eye, I think, starts with the notion that everybody has zero. And you don't get anything unless you defend every dollar above that. And I agree with my colleague from KC that if the notion is that every agency comes in at zero and we can ignore all the statutes that exist in all the green books, ignore all of the programs that are sent up and start out, and then the JAC gets to go through and said, you know, we don't need that program, we don't need that program, we're going to eliminate these positions. And if you think that we can defend that budget among this group, then you have more confidence in our selling abilities than I do. We've sat here today, and how does growth occur? Today, by my reckoning, we've racked up a bill of about $17 million. Not a single one of them was a bad idea, and they're all great, and they may all grow our government. When we did the revenue expenditure studies and in the late 1990s, when we thought we were going to have a $500 million budget deficit, we had a group that went out and did nothing, went through every agency and looked and said, where can we cut? And then we had another group go out and looked at all the revenues, where can we raise revenues? And I think in that exercise that on the expenditure committee, we spent the entire summer, and we came up with like $12 million. Every program that exists out there exists because there's a statute that creates the program, and every statute that creates a program has a constituency, and that constituency expects those dollars to be delivered. And every one of those constituencies won a majority vote on this floor at one time. And if you want to eliminate programs, just go through in the Department of Health and see which of the programs you want to eliminate. If you want to eliminate acquired brain injury, you can do it. You can eliminate it, and if you get a majority of the vote on here, you could probably eliminate it. I don't think you're going to get it. So if it's a meaningful exercise and it will achieve some result, I'm not opposed to doing that. But if you're going to force people to go through a meaningless exercise where they essentially defend their budget, they do that every year. We have budget analysts at the LSO, and we have budget analysts in the agents are over in the Department of A&I, and they can take you through these budgets. You can take any budget, and that analyst will take you through. And in fact, they'll talk about programs they think that they wouldn't support, and you can bring it forward to eliminate a program. The reason we did 10% across the board cuts is because we couldn't identify a single program that was not worthy of terminating. So we simply said everybody has to share. Everybody takes 10%. So if you want to reduce the budget, you can do that. And we reduced it 10%. And frankly, I don't really remember a single state employee being laid off. And during that time, I still saw massive amounts of advertising by the Department of Health. I still got these wonderful glossy brochures, and I still saw state cars running up and down the interstate. And we're creeping back up there. But to suggest that this process will reward benefits, I'm still listening to figure out what is it that is not being done or that would be different that would result or yield some savings.
Other discussion? Go ahead, Senator Dockstetter.
Mr. President, excellent summary by our Chair of Appropriations. I think he described our situation perfectly. You've been given the amendment just to simply ask the hour grows late, vote it up, vote it down. Thank you for your consideration.
I'm going to call for a voice vote on this, barring any objection. Seeing none, all those in favor of this second reading amendment number 23, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, no.
No.
This amendment has failed. Second reading amendment number 23 has failed. The next amendment for our consideration is amendment 20, second reading amendment number 28. I'd ask the reading clerk to read that at this time.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 28, budgets affected, addition to 300 sections.
Senator Bernard, go ahead.
Mr. President and members of the Senate, we come before you today to present the Haystack Mine that is going to be built about 13 miles out of Evanston. If you turn to your fact sheet, you'll see where this is at. It's about 2 or 3 miles north of the Cameron Interchange. And this Haystack Mine is not anything new. If you've lived in Uinta County, it's been talked about for probably the last 20 years. The coal there is quite accessible, especially with the kind of equipment that they've got available now. The people that want to do this are called the HCC, the Haystack Coal Company, and they're a subsidiary of Kiewit Mining Group. A lot of you know and are aware of Peter Kiewit. They're a great big mining operation, great big construction operation, and they are ready to go on this project.
You'll Senator them, Bernard,
pardon me?
We quite often are restrained from using personal references and names of companies and things like that in our. So if you can reference those in another manner, it would be.
I'm sorry, Mr. President.
That's okay.
So this project is ready to go. We have applied with the YDOT Industrial Road Program for $1.5 million, and we've also applied with the Wyoming Business Council for another $1.5 million. That gives us $3 million. The company that we're working with will put up $1 million, which is 25%. Our county is heavily dependent on minerals, and our valuations in Uinta County and Lincoln County have been going down. The citizens of Evanston look to this as really a godsend and a chance to get development in our community. And the reason we're coming to you with this now is we have a chance, if we pass this in the Senate, to jumpstart this and have this process start a year earlier than it would normally start. If we can pass this this amendment and put up the money for it, we will stop our application with the Industrial Road Program and also our Business Council, and we'll be able to start this program a year earlier. What this means is instead of starting maybe in July or August and not being having enough time to finish this, if we do this project, we could start probably in July, maybe even in June. On page 9 of the preliminary regional comments that are made by the Business Ready community, it states that the company that's applying for this is very near the end of their permitting process, and they're very optimistic that these will be done by June 2011. So if we can get the money for this project, we can start by June 11th. What this means for the citizens of Evanston is a year sooner to have our sales taxes go up, our property taxes helped. What it means for Wyoming is that the mineral severance tax starts a year sooner. You can't build a road in Wyoming, if as far as I know, and lay down asphalt after October 15th. I think that's the cutoff point. So if we can't get this started, I think we're going to go past that point. We're going to have to wait clear till the next summer. And as far as I can tell, this project has no impacts on sage grouse. It's environmentally friendly. The road that we're asking to be built will cut down on the dust collection. It'll cut down on the amount of noise. It'll cut down on the interference with the wildlife. So we do need to have this road paved. This road hopefully will come into play, but there's a lot of ifs to come into play. The first if is the Business Council going to pass?
30 seconds.
is the second if, is the other business council, and finally, is the slip board going to move and do this in time? So I would ask for your support on this bill, and if it's all right, Mr. President, can I defer to the senator from Lincoln County?
Okay. Senator Bernard, before we go further, I don't recall you making a specific motion in regard to this amendment. Perhaps you should do so now.
Yes, I'm sorry, Mr. President. I'd like to move amendment number 2028 to the second amendment of Senate File 1.
Thank you. Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to ask the sponsor why this doesn't violate Article 3, Section 27. The legislature shall not pass local or special laws in any of the following enumerated cases. That is to say, then skipping down to altering or working roads or highways.
Any other questions or conversation here? Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and in favor of this amendment, Mr. President, just a short ways back here today, we were talking about an appropriation for $15 million for 200 jobs. Well, if you think about this, it's 100 jobs for $3 million. Pretty good deal. Mr. President, sorry, it's getting late.
It is indeed.
You think about the return on investment on this, too. You know, it's $3 million a year in severance taxes. We're going to get our money back in 1 year. Again, what a deal. Not mentioning all the other tax revenues we're going to gain from this. This is a mineral production facility that will go on for years and years producing this coal and providing mineral severance tax, ad valorem tax, even sales and use tax for our state and counties and communities. So I'd ask you to vote for this bill, this amendment.
Other questions or discussion? Senator Rothfuss.
President, non-substantive, but line 14 has a spelling error in the county name. I'm sure that's something that can be corrected by staff. Thank you.
Okay. Other comments? Question? Go ahead. Sponsor, go ahead.
In regards to the good senator from Natrona County asking about the constitutionality of the road, in order for that to happen, there's a law that says the special law, there must come a distinguishing peculiarity which gives rise to the necessity for the law as to the designated class. Given that statement, this road is a peculiar road because it has a certain traffic pattern. It has a unique volume of traffic. It's a non-standard use for the roadway. The use of the roadway has unique issues related to it. So this road won't interfere with the state statutes of having that done. Again, I would like to tell you to help us out here in Uena County and Lincoln County. This will jumpstart this process, and this money is going to hopefully come out of Wyoming one way or another. We'd just like it to come out a year sooner. Thank you.
Question being called? I'd like the reading clerk to call a roll, or the chief clerk to call a roll. It is getting late. Chief clerk, call a roll in regard to second reading amendment 28.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout? Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich?
No.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
No.
Martin?
No.
Meyer? Nicholas?
No.
Nutting?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Anderson?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 6 ayes, 24 noes.
Second reading amendment number 28 has failed. Next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 19. Reading clerk, read that in at this time.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment 19, multiple budgets affected.
Mr. Vice President, would you like the final word here?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 19, Senate File 1. Folks, these are a series of corrective amendments that are technical corrections in nature and going through the various places where staff caught some errors and is correcting them. The you'll see there was an amendment with respect to the vacation of the Lewis Street. There was an error there. We corrected that, and there's a third reading amendment that's going to be proposed to further address that issue. But these are all technical amendments.
I think these technical amendments can be done through voice vote unless there's an objection. Hearing none, all those in favor of second reading amendment number 19, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That amendment has passed. That is our final amendment. We are now back on the bill, Senate File 1. Is there any further discussion in regard to Senate File 1? Senate File 1, having budget bill having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. What's your pleasure, Mr. Majority Floor Leader?
Mr. President, unless there's other business at the desk, I would move that...
Give me just a second here. Can you wait till tomorrow? I think the business that we have could wait till tomorrow.
With that, Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Announcement, Senator Geis.
Mr. President, your committee number 5. First, we're going to have a real quick conference committee meeting up in S-15 on House Bill 18, quarantine of animals. And then right after that, we're going to have your Committee, Agriculture, Public Land, and Water Resources are going to consider House Bill 163 and gross water produced from geologic subsequences.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in the usual committee room. House Bill 252 engrossed review state executive department positions. House Bill 103, WICHE repayment program, House Bill 36, cancer control amendments, and House Bill 215, Department of Health reorganization.
Senator Coe.
Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock over here by the smoking lounge, room S11. Here, House Bill 27, engross school year required contact hours. House Bill 155, engross student assessment amendments. And House Bill 182, engross student assessment measures.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet tomorrow morning, Wednesday, February the 16th at 8 a.m. in room S1 to consider the following bills. House Joint Resolution 1, District Court Commissioner's Authority. House Bill 21, Battery Against a Family Member. House Bill 107, Municipal Court Jury Trials. And House Bill 256, Wyoming Safe Homes Act 2.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 9, Minerals, will meet tomorrow, Wednesday, February 16th at 1:15. In room S-18 to consider House Bill 114 and gross school district bonds.
Other announcements, Mr. Vice President?
Mr. President, Senate Committee Appropriations number 2 will be meeting upon adjournment this evening to consider the following House bills: 39 engrossed health litigation fund, 49 engrossed primary care support program, 50 engrossed health insurance exchanges.
Senator Schaefer.
Mr. President, your Transportation Committee will meet Wednesday, February 16th on adjournment up in S-14 to take up House Bill 235, engrossed natural gas vehicles, House Bill 208, engrossed off-road vehicle registration exemption, and House Bill 90 engrossed vehicle restoration.
Other announcements? Seeing none, you heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. You motion has carried. The Senate shall stand adjourned until 10 o'clock, 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, February 16th. We are adjourned.